If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I didn't know if I would do her justice. I didn't want to make fun of her. I didn't want to ridicule her in any way. I wanted to do her justice and do a decent job.
Didn't know if you had a wide enough angle lens.
Oh, stop it, Kevin.
What was that?
Nothing, sorry.
Is it possible that Kevin can know any f***ing less than he does? Or screw up any of the jokes more than he does? Do me a favor, Kev. Eat a bag of s***.
Is this a role that you would have wanted to play, Sean, had you been young enough for the role?
I was a good deal older than the guy when I first read it, so it never came to mind that way. I never could have or would or did consider that.
You could have gone comedy with it and been Spicoli. He's changed the whole thing around.
Not at all, Kevin. No.
And now, what the f*** did Kevin say? What the f*** did Kevin say? What the f*** did Kevin just say? Our feature presentation.
What the hell was that?
I've never heard that before.
What was that song?
It was called What the F Did Kevin Say?
Right, but
what it was?
Where'd we get it from?
Oh, gee, like I know. I think it was a listener. I think a listener sent it to us.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Well, I missed the chorus. Where's the chorus part?
Oh, it was all the chorus.
What the F did Kevin say? That's the part.
It goes on for another 2 minutes, but, you know.
A lot of people are asking that question lately, so
yeah.
I think that was what he came up with and sent along. So
that's pretty smart.
We enjoyed that.
We have a pretty funny audience.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we do.
Thank goodness.
Correct.
Yeah, no kidding.
Make up for us.
Morning, everybody. Kevin Abid Show, Wednesday, 7th of May. I see them.
Because she got big-ass boobies.
Now, Lisa, who generally is here about 10 minutes before the start of the show, waltzed in 45 seconds ago.
I know. The Kevin
practically
plan.
Arm in arm with the King of Mexico. and that concerns me with his no-game just decimating every woman that he comes across. I just wonder if you're just his latest conquest, Lisa.
No, turns out
I didn't
not.
Notice if she was
I wasn't. I
limping?
Actually drove up.
Limping or – I couldn't tell. I'm just saying.
No, I just left late and then hit every single freaking light between here and the valley. You know how that goes.
Sure.
When you're kind of in a hurry.
Yeah, when you're in a hurry, it does seem like everything is conspiring against you, even though it's clearly not.
No, it clearly is.
Though it clearly is.
I'll ask you, since you're the traffic broad, yeah. In that situation where you're in a semi-residential area and you're hitting a lot of lights, is there any validity in the theory that you pull over for 30 seconds and then start again and then hit them all when they're green, rather than hit each one individually as it's red?
Well, they are timed, so my understanding is, depending on what the speed limit is, if you were to go 30 miles an hour, you should be able to hit every single light green.
Right.
Or red, right. So maybe that's true.
So maybe if you pull over, take a little break, you could get back on the green cycle.
That's
right.
True.
That's what I'm suggesting would be a far more entertaining drive-in than having to stop every light.
Although, when you're in a hurry... One, pulling over for 30 seconds is tough, and two, staying at the speed limit is tough.
Okay.
Right? Yeah.
Because you're probably not going 30 miles an hour when you're in a hurry.
But if you're
going
to hit all of the lights when they're red, if you could just hit them when you'd go 30 if you knew it was as fast as you could get there.
I suppose.
Now, if they're programmed to hit at going 30,
yeah.
Would they stay the same if you're going 60?
Yeah, they'd have to.
Because you'd go through two lights at the same time.
I can't do that.
I know you can't, but normal people can.
I saw a guy yesterday.
But what if you're going 90?
Yeah. What if you're Kevin?
That would work, too.
120. Same theory.
Yep.
Yesterday, driving to work, this guy and I were trying to get around these other two people who are so freaking slow. So this guy goes all the way to the far right lane. This is on Venice or on La Brea. And it's on a curve. And I thought, well, that's an interesting idea, but I didn't do it. And we come around the curve, and there's a guy walking across the street who was, like, within inches of being hit. And I was
excellent.
Like, you know, that's if I'd have done it, I'd have hit him.
I was going to say, I
would have.
I hope you ran him over.
No, I didn't happen to do that, but that was kind of
well,
scary.
Well, A, you'd make the news if you hit a pedestrian. As a traffic reporter, to hit a pedestrian would be awesome. Everybody would love that. You'd be on every newscast.
That's true.
B, it sounds like maybe the traffic's starting to get to Lisa a little bit.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
It's my fault. I left late. It's my fault.
Yeah.
I've been leaving late lately.
But that wasn't yesterday. I mean, I'm hearing a lot of freaking this and freaking that. It sounds to me like you're starting to boil over with the Southern California traffic.
It is a little annoying.
Everybody goes through that phase, and right now it's on you.
Yeah. It's pretty hard not to.
But if you do leave on time, it is much better for your psyche.
You don't have to speed then?
Turns out you don't. You actually probably save some gas, and you're much calmer
person. I would like to know the answer to Bean's question, though. I would like somebody to let us know about the whole pulling over, retiming it, and then hitting them on
green. Worth a thought.
If I actually leave on time, I will give it a test if I start hitting all the red lights.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
I will be
Are they
test
all
subject.
Timed? Are all streetlights?
No.
Timed? They're not, right?
Uh-uh.
Some are censored, which they should all be. Really.
Yeah.
Right,
absolutely.
But if they're censored, then that theory wouldn't work, pulling over and hitting them all, unless they're timed.
But you wouldn't need it to, because you wouldn't be hitting all red lights.
Because,
I guess so.
Unless someone was in the crosswalk.
Here's what I find to be the easiest solution. Just go.
Just don't care what time you get there. That's the answer, Lisa. Just leave whenever you want to leave.
No, but then what I'm saying is when you get to the street light, it's more of a suggestion, you know, until 6 a.m.
Oh, you mean run the light?
Yeah. Oh,
it certainly is.
It's more of a suggestion. Just, hey, how about slowing down a little?
Yeah.
Is all they mean.
It's sort of like that blinking light when there might be a pedestrian crossing, but if there's not, really,
if there's not, step on it.
Yeah.
Same thing with cars.
I didn't realize that. It's been a long time since I took that driver's test, but I didn't remember that it said that red lights mean yellow lights.
Well, it's a time thing. It depends on the time of day.
Oh, yes. I see. Okay.
It's just like...
So overnight, they're saying, when it's red, they're saying, go ahead, come on, really.
Look around, if it's safe, keep going.
Right. That's the point.
Yeah. Or the Kevin theory, which is just be late.
Hey, I haven't been late in a while.
I know.
I've been very close, but not late.
I was excited when I drove in with you today.
So we
parked at the same time.
So was I, you know what I mean?
A little that rush.
It's like, well, if I'm late, so is Kevin.
But don't you get the feeling if I'm pulling in when Kevin does, I'm late?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I know I'm late.
Okay.
Yeah. There's no doubt about that.
Fantastic. All right. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay.
It's a big one.
We are going to talk about saving the taco trucks. I don't know if you've seen this or not.
Yes.
But there's a big brouhaha over the taco trucks. And people trying to rid our society of them.
They're quite yummy.
Mike, this is brown-on-brown violence going on here, too, right? This is Mexican versus Mexican in this debate, it seems like, a little bit.
Well, it seems like. I mean, everybody within L.A. City Council or government is Mexican somehow now, too. So it's impossible for
true.
Not to be brown-on-brown.
Right. But I guess at least one component of us, and we'll find out more today when we talk to the people who have the online petition to save the taco trucks, one component is restaurant owners who say, hey, the taco trucks are parking too close to where I'm trying to do business selling food, and they're out there selling food, siphoning off my customers. And that could be turning ugly. So
I don't know why this is an issue now, though. I mean, they've been doing this
forever.
Yeah, I don't know either. There must be one incident or, you know, a rash of incidents in a short amount of time where they finally just said, all right, forget it. Let's do something about
this. Yeah, I think there are regulations that the taco trucks don't generally follow, and people have just been letting it go because it's not a big deal. But then someone complained, probably.
I'm glad we're having these people on, too, because there's one taco truck question I've always wanted to ask. And that is, when they catch the rats inside the taco truck, do they cut them up and use them as cheap meat, or do they dispose of them and still keep serving you chicken?
Why do you think those breakfast burritos are so delicious,
Peter? Well, maybe that's the secret ingredient.
And so cheap. Yes. They don't have to pay for rats.
That's right.
But we'll get to that this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We got Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Okay.
Talking about the latest showbiz news.
Including Britt and Kevin Federline in court yesterday with, I think, good news. Road to recovery continues for Britney.
Is the good news that they're back together again?
No,
they
not
started
yet.
Making out? And...
No, not yet. But you still maybe have that to look forward to.
Bad couples songs today. Hey, that's our song. Oh, that's our song. Hey, that's our song. There are a lot of bad choices out there and some very funny ones where you go, how could that possibly be a couple song?
Right.
Girlfriend in a Coma, for example.
Hey,
I'm just saying. That doesn't strike you as, because usually the couple song is romantic in some way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And maybe has something to do with how they met or
here's
where they were.
Yeah.
Here's a little bit of that.
Girlfriend in a coma, I know, it's really serious.
Yes.
There were times when I could have murdered her.
There were times when I could have murdered her.
That is a song for a couple.
Yeah,
that was our song. Couple? That was us, Lisa.
What?
It was Donna and me, yeah.
All right. I know you're not going to tell me now, but I have to find out how that became your song.
I'm super curious about that one, too, only because like, I've always loved that song. So it's hard for me.
Well, of course.
Like, part of me wants to go.
Because you love murder.
Bean, seriously, what's wrong with you? But at the same time, that's got to be one of my favorite Smith songs. That's an awesome song.
That is a good song. Yeah, it is. It's awesome, yeah. I don't know if we can call Mrs. Bean at 7 a.m., but if we can, I'd like her to tell the story because I still don't think all these years later she's pleased with it.
How could she not
looks back on it as the golden age of our relationship either.
How could she not be excited about that?
That's what I say.
So that's coming up this morning. We're going to talk to the creator of Family Guy.
Yes.
Seth MacFarlane
on the program today.
Very cool.
He's the best human on earth, Seth MacFarlane.
He's a funny guy.
That show, Family Guy, is easily in my top three of all time.
Should be, too. It just totally delivers every time.
LaQuisha will be here today.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Talking about another show that never delivers.
Another great show. Are you kidding? Shot at Love 2 with Tila Tequila?
Dude.
It delivers badness, but it delivers. Matthew Fox on the program today.
From Lost?
Party
talking
of
about
Five.
Lost, talking about Speed Racer.
Party of Five.
Talking about Party of Five.
He'll always
be Party of Five to me. Come on.
That'll be the Matthew Fox disaster Bean asks him about that.
Yeah, no, that'll go well.
Hey, how come Party of Five hasn't been on lately, Matt? What's going on?
You guys haven't come back since the writer's strike? Also on the program today, we're going to talk to the Armenian comedian and find out where he was going with that conversation at the live show on Monday. What could possibly have followed?
I want you to listen to me very closely. Are you paying?
Excellent. Can you cue it up to his part, Mike, instead of just the whole? Yeah, there we go.
Not this time.
We Armenians are like the n***ers, okay?
Oh!
That was his opening statement.
And we never heard the second half of that.
And Lightning, the guy that works on the videos here at K-Rock and on the website and everything, he claims he knows where he was going with it. It was a plan.
Mm-hmm.
It was he was saying what he meant to say. It's not like it just came out of the top of his head. He was going someplace with it.
Well, I hope he remembers.
Yeah, he was going to the parking lot with it after he tried to use it on our ear.
It took him like, I don't know, it took him like a half hour, 45 minutes to get down there. He's 25 minutes late. He was on our air for about 8 seconds, gone.
Well done, Sam.
And also today we have more tickets for you to go to the K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta 2008. You can win tickets every hour on the hour. Plus, we're going to play a game for you this morning so you can earn them as well. Okay. And that's coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show today. We will take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbizbee.
Kevin, I know you don't watch The American Idol, but if Bob Marley were still alive today, he would have committed suicide watching last night's show. Am I right,
they
Ralph?
Didn't all do his music.
I thought that was Bob singing just there on that song. I thought it was Jason Castro. That's how good he was at replicating the sound of Marley.
He's the dumb kid we were telling you about. He's got the dreadlocks and came out and did I Shot the Sheriff last night. No, it was the only Marley song of the night. And it was one of the worst performances of any kind on any show of any song ever in the history of the world of all time.
You thought you were watching the first episode of the season where they go to the cities and they trot out the losers? That's how laughable it was.
It was unbelievable.
At least he followed up his horrible impression of Bob Marley by doing a horrible impression of Bob Dylan in his second song.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it was a disaster.
Sounds like he's trying to get thrown off. And
it seemed that way. It looked as if he was desperate to get off the show.
Guys, seriously, I'm going to do a Dylan song. They have to throw me off.
Got to the point where Simon didn't stop criticizing him. Just said, Jason, pack your bags.
Really?
Yeah, that's all he said to him.
Oh, he's got funny. That grin on his face like he's so high he didn't even know where he is or what he's doing. It's really a train wreck. It's just remarkable to watch. I think even you would enjoy this contestant.
Nope.
But tonight's your last chance to see him, we hope. All right, it's 5:50. You're 10 minutes away from more tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta 2008. Of course, we got them for you again every hour all day long on the Kevin and Bean Show this morning. Now, the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Theme was songs from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame last night, Kevin. So the contestants could sing almost any song in the world. Anyone who had been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And that dude picked Bob Marley and then Bob Dylan. It's all Bob's.
He's really trying
to get... Did Mr. Tambourine Man, familiar with that song? Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man, play a song for me. And the same goes over and over, the same thing over and over and over again. Dude forgot the lyrics in the middle of the song.
What's the instrument again?
Mr. Tambourine Man. That started to sound like Dylan. You can understand what you're saying. I'm just making noises.
I was surprised he came out and sung.
How great is Male Al?
I would vote for him if he sang that.
Yeah.
David Archuleta sang Stand By Me. And Love Me Tender by Elvis.
Why are you people
watching
this? Two more
songs no one ever needs to hear again.
Sasha Mercado sang Proud Mary and A Change Is Gonna Come. It was great because she's the black contestant.
Right.
And I love her.
Change Is Gonna Come is a classic song from Sam Cooke, and it was released in 65, right in the middle of the heat of the civil rights movement.
Right.
And it's about, you know, how long has people have been waiting to be accepted, and a change is going to come, and it's very powerful. And she said, you know, I looked into the song, and I found it was all about the civil rights movement, and she's a black girl, okay? Mm-hmm. And I thought it was about the civil rights movements and everything, and I thought, wow, that's really stunning. But then the song even took on more importance to me, had more meaning, because I realized I'm still in the final four of American Idol. And I said, yes, compare you being in the final four of American Idol to the civil rights movement.
Yes.
And say, now the song has some impact for you.
Yeah. Way more meaning now.
Way more meaning now. Forget all that stuff about, you know, civil rights and not have to sit in the back of a bus or drink from a different water fountain.
Much less important.
I'm on a TV show. That's what's important.
Why are you bad, America?
And then David Cook, my favorite, sang Bob O'Reilly by The Who, which I love that song.
Wow, what a horrible show that is.
But then at least he also did Hungry Like the Wolf by Duran Duran.
Yeah!
Oh, could have done without that.
So it all worked out. Tonight,
you can mock Kevin, but when David Cook is the new lead singer of Velvet Revolver, which is my prediction, then you're going to be dealing with him.
Yeah.
He's good.
You guys come in.
They're looking for one. He's the kind of guy they'd like.
He's good.
You guys come in every Wednesday and go, wow, this is bad. Well, that was
David
bad.
Cook is good, though.
But this was bad.
But David Cook is good.
All right.
More reality TV show news. Mario got booted up at Dancing with the Stars last night. Can you believe it?
I didn't know he was on.
I am not going to watch the rest of this season because of that.
Got down to Mario and Jason Taylor, and Mario's gone. So we're all a little poorer, I think, for it. Wish I knew who he was or what was going on there. I do big plans for Mother's Day this weekend. You know, it is Mother's Day on Sunday.
Sure.
Be good to your mother. She's the only one you'll ever have.
Sure.
They asked AOL, asked the people who use that internet service, what was their favorite mom-themed comedy film of all time?
Mom-themed comedy film.
Hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Serial Mom was number four with 4%.
She's the one where she was a killer?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I think so.
I think that's a John Waters film, I think, Serial Mom.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
I kind of like that.
With Patty Hearst, right? Patty
that's
Hearst
right.
is in that.
Good recall there, Ralph.
Thank you. Monster-in-Law, 20%. Jane Fonda and J-Lo.
Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah.
Freaky Bad Friday movie. Got 28% of the vote.
It was Lindsay.
Lindsay Lohan.
Right?
Yep. Yeah. Number one vote-getter on AOL, favorite mom-themed comedy film of all time. Mr. Mom with Michael Keaton. Mr. Mom.
That was funny. When was that?
How funny is it that a movie, the only mom-themed movie that isn't about a woman, is the number one?
Yeah.
But it is funny. He likes his whoopee. That kid likes his whoopee. I know that. Speaking of films, Robert Downey Jr. apparently is getting a little burnt out doing so many interviews for his hit movie Iron Man. RadarOnline.com, the entertainment news website, says he had a little bit of a meltdown on the red carpet the other day at the premiere when a reporter asked him his opinion on the Iraq war. They say Robert just snapped. He's been going at it for so long, so hard, that one more stupid question apparently was going to put him right over the edge.
I don't blame him. What, they think he knows because he can fly an attack? I mean, because of that tie-in?
Apparently Robert just went off on the guy, dropping a few F-bombs. And told him, said, look, I took a gig for a big paycheck, and you're asking me about the Iraq war. Just shut the F up and let me have my blockbuster, he told the guy. Which is pretty
What
funny.
Did you want the man to do?
What do you think of the Iraq war, Robert Downey Jr., star of Iron Man?
Super.
Who are you voting for in the next
Everything's
election?
Good.
Oh, dear Lord in heaven. And this story is awesome. Lindsay Lohan has been fingered.
Oh, what?
Excuse me?
Yeah.
Has been fingered
we can't say that.
In the stealing of a mink coat worth $11,000.
Really?
Yes. A 22-year-old Columbia University student named Masha Markova. You just know she's hot with a name like Masha Markova. She went to a party that was hosted by Stavros Niarchos.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Greek shipping heir.
Right.
Former boyfriend of Paris Hilton.
Right.
Also attending the party was Lindsay Lohan. I'm sorry. Lindsay Lohan! So they go to this party, and it's one of those house parties where you go and everyone leaves their coats in the room. Just put it on the bed.
Right.
You know? And it's kind of a big dog pile of coats there. And at the end of the night, everyone goes in there and gets their coats.
Right.
Party's over. Masha goes to get her $11,000 mink coat, and it's gone. Missing.
And they
so
think
she is flipped. So wait a minute. So cut to Masha 2 weeks later, sitting in her dorm room, flipping through an OK magazine, and boom, there's a photograph of Lindsay wearing her fur coat. She told the New York Post she remembered being seated at the party next to Lindsay and then putting the mink coat in that common room with the other jackets. She called Lindsay's lawyer, threatened a lawsuit, and 2 days later, with no explanation, a box arrives at her apartment containing her coat.
Wow. Like a student who has an $11,000 fur coat.
Which she said was reeking of cigarettes and booze and had a slight tear in the lining.
That's funny.
But now Masha wants Lindsay to own up to swiping the coat, and she will not rest until she gets a statement.
F you, you effing bitch.
That's funny.
Yeah. So, she's a coat thief. Lindsay Lohan.
I like, you know what?
I heard she was a coat whore, first of all.
Sure.
I heard that rumor. Now she's a coat thief.
You know what? I think I want this one. I think I want to take this one home. It's better than mine.
Look at this. This is a nice fur coat.
This looks nice. Prettier. I'll have this.
Just waiting for PETA to come forward and say, do not steal fur coats. Steal those cloth coats. Mandy Moore's got a new boyfriend.
Oh.
Sorry, Dave. He doesn't even care about Mandy Moore anymore.
He can't handle
it
all.
He's so off the Mandy Moore tip.
Yeah.
He is strictly a Veronica Mars.
Kristen Bell.
Kristen Bell.
Yeah.
Christian Bale. According to Star Magazine, Mandy is now dating MMA fighter George St. Pierre.
Oh, bonjour.
Oh. Oh. Bonjour. I put you in that leg lock. So that's kind of intimidating.
Yeah.
I guess the rest of us have no shot now.
Mandy is another one, by the way, who gets hotter every minute of every day. I don't know how she does it, but see her today, she'll be hotter than she was yesterday.
And Patrick Dempsey's wife, Jillian, says she loves it when Patrick gets a new role. Every time he gets a new gig, he goes out and buys her a new piece of jewelry from Fred Layton.
Oh, wow.
Is that expensive?
Fred Layton. Yeah. Oh, yeah. What's he doing? What is he doing?
What is he doing?
What's
I don't
he
know.
Doing?
Just every time he gets a gig?
Every time he gets a new gig, he goes out and buys her an enormously expensive piece of jewelry.
Flimsy.
He's way flimsy. Not to mention, she's going to get it all in the divorce anyway.
Yeah, what the hell?
So why are you bothering? Why are you adding on to her pile of goodies that she gets to take when she leaves you? McDopey? Take a look at celebrity birthdays, shall we? Breckin Meyer. Actor. You know him from Road Trip and other feature films. He is 34 years old today. Eagle Eye Cherry. He's 37 years old today.
Eagle does good work.
Oh,
remember him?
Love Eagle Eye.
What was his song? Save Tonight? Was that the big big number one
Save
for him?
Save Tonight.
Yeah.
And his sister, Nana, right? She wasn't
Sure. That's right.
She,
Buffalo Stance,
Buffalo
bitch.
Buffalo Stance.
That's right.
I loved that song.
Buffalo Stance, bitch.
I might have to get a little taste of that. Even though it's not her birthday, we'll play it because it's her brother's
birthday. Hey, Bean, who was their dad? He was a jazz musician.
Don Cherry, famous jazz horn player, yeah.
And coach of the Buffalo Bruins for many years.
Really?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Okay, too much info on this.
Probably a different guy. Oh. I suspect same name, different guy. Right? Oh. Yeah, I think so.
Anyway, Eagle Eye is 37 years old today. Phil Campbell of Motorhead is 47 years old today. And Tracy Lords, good old Tracy.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
She's 39 years old today. Boy, she was good at what she did back when she did it.
She was.
Not that you saw it, because how could you see it?
When
you
was 17.
It. Yeah.
It's so funny, because when it came out that she... was underage during her entire porn career, I think, except for one film, I think, called Tracy, I Love You, that I own. But
that you own?
No.
Oh.
I had a bunch of Tracy Lords stuff. I had cassette, you know, because you didn't have DVDs back then. So
right.
I had videotapes. I had magazine books, layouts, and everything. I was like, dude, this stuff is like collectible items now. These are collector's items because, you know, she was underage. It was a big scandal. I bet this stuff's worth a mint. And I went to sell it, and I realized I can't sell this. It's child pornography.
Yeah.
I'll get arrested if I try to sell this on eBay.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
So I sold it all to Rodney. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ulysses Guevara from Burbank just won his tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta 2008. He does not have to sweat it. He does not have to listen to the radio forever to find out when they go on sale. Doesn't even matter if he's a street team member or not. He's already got his tickets. He won them. We got them for you every hour this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. You can get all the details about who's playing, including Metallica, Offspring, Rock and Tours, and more at krock.com.
Have you guys seen the great taco truck war that's going on?
I've heard a little
really
bit about it.
Yeah. Heating up now, right?
New set of regulations due to go into effect May 15th has some of L.A.'s taco truck drivers and their customers worried. The L.A. County Board of Supervisors made parking a taco truck in one spot for more than an hour punishable by a fine of up to $1,000 and or up to 6 months in jail.
Oh, my God.
Or both.
No no pun intended, but what's their beef with the taco trucks?
Hey.
I mean, why after all these years do they now care where they park?
I don't know. I imagine it's restaurants that don't want them near. I don't know. Maybe it's people in the neighborhood.
Well, I don't think they park in residential areas unless there's a big construction site, because they're not going to make any money there.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Well, later on this morning, we're going to be talking to Aaron Glenn. He is a spokesperson. Excuse me. She's a spokesperson for the Save Our Taco Trucks petition. But right now, very excited to say, we've got one of the drivers of one of LA's finest taco trucks on the line with us right now. Standing by to talk to us on the Kevin Beach Show. Good morning.
All right. Hey, thanks for calling Rudy's Taco the Sound. What's up? This is Rudy.
This is Rudy, our friend Rudy?
Hey, what's up, Kevin and B? What's happening, eh?
Oh, I didn't know it was going to be you.
Yes, right, eh?
How you doing, Rudy?
I'm doing good. You know, like, I finally got, like, a positive job, you know? Like, I got my own taco truck.
Right,
you know what I'm saying? I'm down here, like, in East Los, like, slanging tacos. And, like, you know, I mean, I really like my job. I feel good about myself, you know? But I'm like, really disappointed that, like, you know, they're trying to come down and, like, make my job, like, harder on me. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I get them while they're hot, eh?
Okay, I can imagine. I can imagine because you probably felt like you're finally going legit. You're not
exactly doing... like I feel like I'm doing something good. I don't understand why people in the neighborhood like they want to look at like me and my taco truck like something that's bad for the neighborhood. You know what I'm saying? Because all I'm doing is giving out love and some good food. Hey, bum! If you're not buying tacos, get out, eh?
Yes. Whoa!
Hey, Rudy!
Rudy!
Fire a gun?
Puto, hey, if you're not gonna buy nothing, get out of here, eh? That's right. That's right.
Well,
white boys are like borders. They get jumped by Mexicans. Okay, keep your mouth shut.
Rudy, you can't just shoot a guy because he's standing around your taco truck.
Get him while they're hot, eh?
I don't think shooting a weapon is necessarily considered going legit.
You know what I say? Look, I'm just like trying to give a good, nutritious, delicious food out on the streets out here in East Los. I got a couple people working for some of the vatos, some of my homeboys from the neighborhood.
Right.
And like I'm doing good. I'm giving back to the community. You know what I'm saying? Hold on, dog. Hey, hold on, Kevin and B. I got a customer.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Can I get a couple of tacos? Can I get a carne asada tacos? And I get a taco with some lengua with some extra cilantro. Oh. Extra cilantro, eh?
Yeah, some extra cilantro.
All right,
cilantro.
Hold on. Let me get this here. There you go. Take that. Hey, don't take more than 3 bong rips of that, eh? You'll be dead. Trust me, dude. I'm telling you, that's the chronic right there.
Thanks, man. Thanks,
all right,
man.
Peace out, eh?
All right.
What? Sounds like you're moving. Are you moving weed?
Yeah, that's right. He said extra cilantro. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Extra cilantro.
Oh, it's cold.
Yeah. But like I said, look, I don't know why, like, the white stupid government, they're going to come down and be like, hey, man, you got to move your truck, or, like, your truck's not good for the city. You know what I'm saying? Like I said,
but everything
I do is good. You know what I'm saying?
But you're shooting people and selling drugs, though.
I feel good about myself. I'm doing something good for the kids. You know what I'm saying?
Right, but you're making all that noise in the neighborhood with your stupid horn, too.
Hey, I got another customer. Shut up. Hey, what's up, Mr. Ratty?
Yo, man, could I have 2 pollo tacos and 2 carne asada tacos with the extra sauce, man?
Extra hot sauce. All right. Hey, don't fire this in the residential neighborhood because, like, I already filed up the serial number. But, you know, make sure, like, you use the silencer. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, that's a hot pistola right there. Take back what they say. Hey, peace out, Mr. Red.
Wait a minute. You're selling weapons now?
You know what? I'm just a hustler trying to get by, eh? You know what I'm saying?
How about more tacos, less drugs and guns? Oh, dear God.
How about that? That's what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? Look, it's like this. Carne asada is not a crime. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They shouldn't be coming down on me. Back in the day, I was just sitting there letting my mustache grow, watching the Raider game.
Right.
And, like, now I got, like, a job. I got my own business. I got, like, my own place. And it's like, you know, we're not really hurting nobody. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I'm guessing a pistol with a silencer is not considered legal, though.
Yo, Rudy.
Hey, what's up, dog? Hold on, I got another customer. What's up, Eric? Yo, could I have the Cabeza Special with a seafood cocktail?
Cabeza Special with a seafood cocktail. All right. Hey, that girl! Girl, get your knee pads and some lube. We got
what?
Cabeza Special!
What?
Oh, no.
And now, a moment with Bean.
A lot of people who are into, you know, one sort of athletic sports, they're really into other ones, too. They, you know, they like to kind of do both.
That was a moment with Bean.
I think I may have been able to say that better if I tried.
No, yeah, that was well done.
Probably not. It's the Kevin Beach Show on K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. By the way, saw something so unbelievable on TMZ television yesterday. I don't know if you saw last night's episode, Kevin.
I did.
Channel 11. 6:30. Well, let's bring Harvey Levin. I'll ask him to explain. Harvey, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Chunk Area. How are you, man?
Good morning, guys. Hi, Rick.
So, hi, Harvey.
So one of your guys is going through the rundown of all the great things on TMZ TV show, which I'm just completely addicted to, as you know. And they brought out a photograph of Star Jones, who, as you guys know, is back on the market. She just broke up with Gay Al, and she's out there with some dude. And your guy on TMZ says, and she doesn't look that bad.
She didn't. Come on, guys.
She didn't look like an alien?
She didn't look bad. I got
Harvey,
it right. Did you see it?
Of course I did.
Well, you're just, you know what, honestly, you're such a hater that you are, that you just can't even.
All right. Harvey,
No. I'll test you. Can you say one good thing to me about Star Jones?
Well, there isn't she's anything. Getting older every day, which means she's getting closer to dying.
She finally accepted that her husband is gay and is leaving him.
That's what I'm saying. You guys are just such haters.
Oh, Harvey, there are some people who demand to be hated, and she's one of them.
I couldn't believe it, though. Look, you could argue that she has looked worse than she did in the photo you put up yesterday. You could argue that for Star Jones, this isn't the worst day she's ever had. You can't argue that she looks good or that she doesn't look bad.
Well, that's what he said. He said she didn't look bad.
Compared to, you know, before.
Exactly.
Come on, Harvey. I thought, honestly, when I looked up, I thought they were making a new Godzilla movie when I saw the film.
I'm losing my edge. I'm sitting here defending Star Jones.
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
What's wrong with you, Harvey?
No, you're pushing me.
Well,
and I got to start a morning meeting in 5 minutes, Doc.
I know you do.
Don't make me lose my edge right now.
All right. Let's catch up with all the hot TMZ. Another thing you said on the show was a prediction from our friend Harvey Levin that came completely true, which was that it was good news for Britney as she finally walked out of the courthouse yesterday, right?
Yep. It was a huge, huge turnaround. I mean, she came in. She was respectful. She looked great. I mean, did you guys see her?
No.
Yes.
She looked great. And she was, you know, she was polite to the judge. But the big deal was he realized the judge was kind of blown away by her. I mean, she has made huge progress. And there are two people responsible for it, her dad and this lawyer, Blair Burke, who's one of the best lawyers in America. And she's kind of, you know, quietly, she's the one who brought her to court. But they together have, you know, brought her back to, you know, to life. And the judge said, look, you know, things are great. You don't have to be mom of the year, but, you know, you're a fit mom now. And gave her 3 days. We found out about this. I mean, it's not out, but I can tell you she's got 3 days visitation a week. It's going to turn into overnights. And eventually, and my guess is by midsummer, she could end up having 50-50 custody again.
Wow.
That's
wow.
Good news,
that's
which is
huge.
Great, which is great.
That is good news. Now, what is, I mean, is Kevin Federline happy about this? Is this what he wants, is to see her be more involved?
He is. Now, his story is he's happy because the kids need a mom.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, this dude doesn't want to have these kids full time.
I agree.
Yeah.
You know?
He wants to get out of the house. He wants to smoke out. He wants to do all the stuff that he used to do, and he'd rather have somebody else take care of him part time.
Which doesn't make him a bad dad. He wants the kids half time, but he just doesn't want, you know,
yeah.
he wants her to get better in the worst way.
Right, right. Sure.
Now, Harvey, you mentioned the two people who have done so much to kind of rehab Britney's image, and she does seem to be healthy, and she's wearing underwear, and, you know, she's sounds like a normal person when she talks now, and she's able to keep a job when she shows up for something now. But is that all going to end? I mean, eventually, are they going to run out of ways to keep Sam Lutfi away from her and that Ahmad Gahan guy away from her? I mean, eventually.
That's the best question that anybody's asked me in this whole thing. Because,
wow.
No, you're totally right. Because what could happen is the mistake you make in a case like this is you put a ball and chain on the person you're trying to take care of, and eventually they're going to end up having to take care of themselves. And if you make it so onerous and bad for them, they're just going to reject everything once you leave.
Right.
So the smart thing that they've done is they've thought about this, and they've done it in a way where she can live with whatever they're kind of doing for her once they're gone. And so they're still giving her some control of her life. And I'm guessing Lutfi, you know, she doesn't remember from 1 minute to the next anyway. And I'm guessing Lutfi is going to be, you know, ancient history by the time she gets, you know, much better. But they're doing this whole thing not with an eye toward today keeping her chained up, but with an eye toward a year from now when they're gone and that she can live a life that she can manage. And that's a really tricky thing that they seem to be doing right now.
It is, but and she's also going to have matured enough and taken to heart the counsel of the people who have been giving her good advice to this point and learn how to spot those people who are going to drag her back down. And that's going to be the hardest thing to do if she's still got those same insecurities or whatever drew her to those people.
Well, it's true. And, I mean, that's going to be a huge problem. I mean, she's not out of the woods. Plus, she's bipolar. So she's got to take her medicine, number one. If she doesn't, she's screwed.
Right.
And number two, even if she does take her medicine, she's in a business where there are a bunch of sycophants and everybody wants a piece of her and everybody wants to use her and take advantage of her. So it is a really tough, it's a tough road.
Here's what I like about Brittany. Bean was describing her complete turnaround, and one of the items that he mentioned was she's wearing underwear.
That's true, though.
I mean, that's... I heard Lisa May laugh. I mean, I was laughing. That's just hilarious.
That should not be like a sign, a positive, healthy sign.
Wearing underwear is high praise in Hollywood.
Right.
It is. And shoes, too, I'd like to point out. It's been a long time since we see her walking to a restroom at a service station barefoot. All right. This is Harvey Levin on the phone from TMZ.com and TMZ Television. The other big story that we want to talk about, and Ralph primed us a few minutes ago on Lindsay Lohan stealing the coat from the party. Was it accidental that she walked off because she had a coat that was similar to that, or did she just see it and think, hey, I think I like that one better than the one I brought?
Well, look, you got to give the girl a little bit of credit. I mean, she walks out of this club right in front of our camera. Who steals a coat and walks out in front of a TMZ camera? I mean, come on. She took a coat. As soon as she got a call and said, hey, I think you took my coat, they made arrangements to return it. So what we found out was, number one, oh, this is the best. So the lawyer for the girl who owned the coat, and you know Lindsay had it for like 2 weeks.
Right.
The lawyer demanded $100,000 as a rental fee.
How about that? As a rental fee?
Yeah. and said there was a little tear in it, but the big thing is, so the lawyer says it smelled of booze and smoke. So
no way.
This is the best. This is the best. So then we start hunting around, and we find pictures of the girl who owns the coat.
Mm-hmm. Uh huh.
We see her wearing the coat, chugging champagne, kissing this other girl in this drunken stupor. I mean, we have all these pictures up on the internet. So it's like you're blaming Lindsay Lohan for alcohol on that coat.
For a lot of your behavior.
You should see these pictures. They're
wow.
That's awesome.
They are funny. And you said on the show yesterday, Harvey, that this lawyer, who I guess says, hey, we had a brush with a celebrity, let's try to get some cash out of it, they even wanted to somehow charge you for doing the story or for using the photos?
They called us. The lawyer called us and said, we'd like to charge you, but we'll give you this story if you pay. And we just kind of sat back and said, you know, screw you. And we just waited until he sold it to somebody. And then when he sold it to somebody, we did the story, but then we found these pictures and it was a better story anyway.
That's fantastic. That's great.
Wow.
Well, I love that the American tradition of blaming the victim is alive and well. I love that you went out and went after the chick who had her coat stolen. That's what I love about TMZ.com. Harvey, excellent work as always. Always great to catch up with you. Have fun at your meeting today, dude.
Thanks, guys. See
Thank you, man.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. LaQuisha on the program today, reviewing last night's Shot at Love 2 with Tila Tequila. We got that coming up. More tickets for you for the K-Rock Weenie Rose Fiesta 2008 every hour. Let me see. How about Seth MacFarlane, creator of Family Guy, talking about a live event you can go to this weekend, and Matthew Fox from tonight's Lost and from this weekend's Speed Racer. All of that straight ahead on the Kevin and Bean Show. And the reason I tell you all of that now is so that you'll stick through the next 5 minutes.
How dare you?
I'm just saying.
We did a live show on Monday for Cinco de Mayo, and the Armenian comedian came down to show us his new masturbation machine.
Yes.
And we were a little concerned about what he might say.
I want you to listen to me very closely. Are you paying attention? Can you hear me?
Absolutely.
Okay. Do not swear.
Really?
Watch
not at all.
Your language, not even a little bit.
None.
Do you understand?
You're looking at him as if he's speaking a different language. Every time you're on the air, you swear.
And do not swear.
You can't do that.
So not
this
time. You
know, we Armenians are like the n***ers, okay?
Oh,
Jesus. What is wrong? My God.
How did that just happen? What's going
you can't
on?
You say that, Sam.
We just said don't swear. Okay. I'm sorry. We're gonna cut that segment short, Sam. We're not going to have time for anything else with you.
Wow.
So we never even got to see his invention. We never even got to hear about it because we had to, obviously, the civil thing to do is to immediately throw his ass out of the bar. And that's what we did. So, and we've been puzzled ever since as to how, what was he trying to say? Where was he going with that? How did it relate to what we were saying to him? We have nothing but questions for the Armenian comedian.
Now, Sam, before we go on with this.
Yeah, go on, Kevin.
You can't curse. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Can't curse. And let's go ahead and throw the N-word in there as well. Can't say that.
All right. I was trying to say we are like them.
Yeah. And?
Okay, but our question is how
and why were you saying that? What were you thinking? What conversation were you having? It was so different than the one we were all having.
Well, Bean said, don't cuss. And I said, we are like them. I didn't cuss. What? You put pronoun and adjective and grammar and vocabulary together. You put one word to another phrase and word, you means much different things, you know?
Well, that's an offensive word, Sam.
I was saying that we are like them, especially we are all over the world in this globe of Armenians are from Iran, Armenians from Lebanon.
Right.
And from Russia and Armenians especially, they cuss a lot.
Oh, I see. So you're saying the N-word... Those people curse a lot, as do you?
Yeah.
Well, that's horrible.
Well, what is that? That's a horrible thing to say, first of all.
But why do you think that black people curse more than anyone else? Asian people curse, white people curse, Armenian people curse. I still don't understand the distinction that you're making.
What I'm saying is Armenian people, we curse like them.
But what we're saying is the Armenian people curse like everyone else curses. There's no...
Yes.
All right.
Well, apparently we're in agreement.
All right.
Yeah. Sam.
No, not women. Men. Men. Women don't curse.
Okay.
Okay.
Wow, you haven't met Lisa then. Hey, Sam, what about in the Armenian culture? And I know you're an American and you've been here forever and you have a lot of friends of other cultures. You interact with your customers. Is that still commonplace in your culture to use the N-word in conversation? Because that's part of what shocked us so much is that nobody says that word.
No, I didn't. They don't use it at all. I just used it as an example that we are also capable to curse like them. We are. Anybody is doing that, and right now in the schools and everybody is, except you in your show, you're not allowed. But in schools, in anywhere, in markets, everybody is cursing.
Okay. You know? Okay, I can see that. I mean, I can see that a lot of people do curse,
yes.
But one group doesn't curse more than others that I know of.
Yes, they do.
Okay.
And who's the group that curses the most?
Why would you ask him that?
I'm trying to understand the hierarchy here because he seemed to agree with us that everybody cusses, and when I said that white people cuss just as much as black people and Asian people, he didn't dispute that. But do you think black people curse more than anybody, Sam?
Yes, especially Armenian from Russia, they curse more than them.
Okay.
Yes.
Wow.
Okay.
I couldn't be more puzzled. Now, Sam, you understand the reason we brought you down on Monday was because we wanted to demonstrate your new invention, and you never got to that because of the Armenian comedian N-word disaster, right?
Yeah, because I was so pissed off. You guys just unwoke me all of a sudden and throw me out.
Well, Sam, I'm going to try and tell you this again. The N-word... Whether you know rightfully so or not is one of the most combustible words out there, and you can't just throw it around like that.
Yeah, because I'm comedian and I can say whatever I want to say. That's all.
But not on the radio.
But A, not on the radio, and B, even if we weren't on the radio, you did notice that we had black listeners that were standing 5 feet away from you.
Listen, you just say black. Isn't it the same thing?
No.
No.
Not at all.
No.
Sam. No, Sam, it isn't.
Okay.
It's very different.
He knows.
He's like, a course. Right. Okay. Yeah, just kid.
Take a course.
I kid because I love.
I mean, our listeners were very cool, and they thought it was hilarious what you did because the joke was on you. I mean, look, no one cares what you say or takes seriously what you say, so they were laughing at you anyway, so they weren't offended. It's not like they were mad at us. But you shouldn't have taken that risk. You don't say stuff like that, particularly around black people.
You know, I'm a guy that I can take a chance no matter what. I can cross the river, mountain, desert, It's my ability to make anybody happy either way.
Okay.
Well, I can't argue with that.
That's what we were thinking as well. Now, Sam, one of the problems with Monday's show is that you never got to show us your invention.
Right.
Yeah, that's why I'm so pissed off. I wanted to
Right, we got that.
The world, and it's going to be another chance. I would like to have anybody listener or anybody... especially when I demonstrate, I need company to partner me and help me to really sell this.
Okay, now, that brings up the next point. I saw you walk in to the cantina where we were. I saw what you had in your hands.
Yeah.
And it was an electric hair clipper.
That's right.
Just a regular black plug-in electric hair clipper.
Right.
And that didn't seem to me like that was your invention.
It is a hair clipper. I can, for the reason is women have a lot of toys to pleasure themselves.
Right, we got that.
And men doesn't have.
Right.
Right, but you made it sound like you had invented something for men to use, and instead what you did is you just took something off the shelf that has already been invented and sold.
Oh, no. Men no. are so ashamed to use any massage machine on their body.
Okay, so your invention is to tell men to use a product that's already out there and being sold, the electric hair clipper.
Yeah, why? It's invention of mine because I'm a hairstylist, and whenever I use the clipper, my hand, it vibrates my hand even, you know, it's full.
Right, but that's not an invention. You didn't invent anything.
You might have.
I invented the idea. You take a product and use it something else.
Okay, so you decided to put the electric hair clipper down there, and and that's your invention.
Yes.
It seems dangerous.
No, it's not once you turn the other way.
Okay, I don't even want any clarification of that. I really don't.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Sam, I got to be honest, buddy. We may need a break. After this, it may be a while before we speak with you again.
I need you to I need you to make another day. I will come over and I show myself, and or maybe Psycho Mike or Lightning, whoever wants to use it and have the pleasure of.
Yeah, I don't think we're going down that road with you, Sam. I think we've learned enough about your invention, maybe to just move on to something else.
No, we have to taste it. Somebody has to taste it. Like,
I don't want to know where that's going either.
I'm very uncomfortable with this conversation. So you're saying you want a bunch of people here at K-Rock to be with you and to try the electric hair clipper down there?
Yes, even you.
No.
No.
Absolutely not. We can hook
Nobody.
You up with, we can hook you up with Doc, but that's it.
Doc?
Yes.
No.
Wow, Doc is even too low on the food chain for Sam.
Sam has standards.
I don't care if it's a security guard in the street.
Listen, we're out of time, Sam. I'm glad you got a chance to explain.
With this
okay, we got all that. We heard all that, right? I'm glad you got a chance to explain. I am now as confused as I was before we brought you on, but I'm glad you came on and tried to explain. And like I said, let's take a little bit of a break. It's not you, it's us. And maybe we'll check in with you again in 2011, 2012, okay?
No.
No, we'll talk to you long before that, Sam. As a matter of fact, we're going to talk to you after Lightning's kid's birthday party.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Sam.
All right.
All right. Don't know what you're talking about, but you're the best.
Thank you. And I didn't want to cuss. That's all I want to say. I didn't want to
You didn't want to cuss.
Right.
No. All right.
Just happened.
You know, adjective, vocabulary, and pronunciation, and you use one word to another phrase, it means something else.
Right, but that's one word that's not usable any other way, really.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, Sam.
All right, Sam. Thanks. See you later.
All right, bye now.
Okay. That's the Armenian comedian right there. Mm-hmm. So now that's clear. So you've got a song that you might think is supposed to be romantic but isn't, or you're saddled with an awful, awful love song because that's what your girlfriend wanted and you hate it. Either way, we're going to be talking to you coming up after the news at 7 o'clock on the world-famous K-Rock. I think a topic we've never addressed here in this program, and a very serious one that needs to be investigated.
Yeah, because most people are bad.
And a lot that of bad songs out there.
Right. Do you even have a song with Carrie? Do you guys have a number that you consider your song?
Yeah, it's the Batman
now?
Theme. What do you think?
We do, but it's not. It's just, it's a Sinatra song.
Oh.
Called, not embarrassing. Called okay. All the Way. It's not embarrassing. No,
it's a great
very,
song.
Very sweet romantic song that makes perfect sense for a couple about sure. loving each other all the way. And for some inexplicable reason, we chose that instead of Creep or I Want to Rape You in a Coma.
Girlfriend in a Coma.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever.
We'll tell those stories coming up and take your calls. Plus, more tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roastie Fiesta 2008. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Wednesday. What's going on?
So the blacks curse a lot? Is that what I'm supposed to learn from that?
That's
what
I Sam would have you believe.
I see. I send the tape up to the lab and have them get back to me with what it actually meant.
You said black people, same thing.
Not the same thing. Not even at all. Charlie Sheen just can't get enough of being married. According to In Touch Weekly magazine, he is set to marry his third wife, Brooke Kaplan, on May the 30th. That's why. Why is he doing
that? Yeah, why?
You're
exactly.
Charlie Sheen. Be who you are. Know who you are and be that person. Stop it. Stop it.
I mean, to me, that's like Michael Jordan trying to play baseball. Look, you've got something you're good at, and that's banging lots of chicks.
Right.
Don't deviate from that and marry someone that you're going to get a divorce with, an expensive one, in 2 years.
According to a recent story, as long as 2 years ago, he was still paying for hookers. So, come on. You're just Charlie Sheen. That's who you are.
Right. That's who you are. Exactly.
Just be you. Meanwhile, his ex-wife Denise Richards is still pretending to be an angel. She told Red Book magazine that she will not allow anyone to bash Charlie Sheen in front of her daughters, Sam and Lola.
Yeah.
She won't let anyone speak ill of him in front of the kids.
Sure.
That's her job?
She says she's even had to fire a nanny who was running her mouth about Charlie. It was just unacceptable.
Wasn't she going on magazines and stuff and talking about how
she was on publicly saying found all kinds of nasty porn on his computers and what a horrible person he is and he's foul and evil. Yeah.
Yeah.
But not in front of the kids because they'll never hear that.
Okay.
The Sex and the City movie?
Yeah.
It's going to be a monster hit.
It is.
I just can't wait to
so much buzz about this film. So many women looking to go. And it stars Jennifer Hudson as well. You know,
oh, does it?
The fatty, fat broad from Dreamgirls.
Right.
Sure.
Fatty.
Apparently, she plays the Foot's personal assistant.
That's her, Jessica Parker.
Yeah. The Foot. Oh,
she's the girl who looks like a foot.
Yeah, I was trying to think of who that was.
Yeah. And so she does an interview with E! Entertainment News and says that she is a big believer in method acting. And she says to prepare for her role as a personal assistant, she, and I quote, would get into character by answering the phone and putting on a professional tone.
What?
Oh, shut up.
She's really?
Wow. Jeez, that's just like De Niro gaining 100 pounds for Raging Bull. You are dedicated. You would answer your own phone and put on a professional tone? How did you get through that grueling training exercise to play a personal assistant?
She didn't have to go to astronaut school to learn how to be in a spacecraft. What's up with that?
I hate
did you, Ralph, did you happen to see the Jennifer Hudson story on The Insider last night?
No. There's no Jennifer Hudson.
TV star caught the middle of a dangerous herd of hippos.
Yeah, that was right there. Really, there is a story.
Yeah. Yeah. That girl's fat.
So she's not slim, is what we're saying. Mm-mm. She's not slender.
Not a tiny girl. Not svelte, no.
Someone else who's bragging about how tough they have it, Jessica Simpson.
Dumb bitch.
Who was very popular on the recent tour for the USO.
Sure.
Apparently, for some reason, the soldiers liked seeing her. Mm. I bet it was her singing.
It had to be her singing.
Was the fact that she came on stage wearing Daisy Dukes. That wasn't it.
No.
She denies getting preferential treatment while on tour, she said, with the soldiers. She said she roughed it like just like anyone else. She had to sleep in a barracks and had to wear flip-flops in the shower. Well, that is just like being a soldier.
Wow. She had to wear flip-flops in the shower.
Oh, can you imagine?
Brutal.
Can you imagine the torture of having to do that and then sleep in a barracks?
Yeah.
How did she survive?
Hell on earth.
The fact that stood out to her as being anything to tell is ridiculous.
Can't we get more use out of her over there? Having her...
Frontline?
Take apart the...
Strap bombs to herself?
Take apart those roadside bombs that they have problems
sure.
with. You know,
there
how
you
go there and defuse those?
I like that.
Can't she do that? Bet she's had a few missiles aimed at her. You know what I'm saying?
Nope.
You can never let it show on your face.
Oh,
that's not good.
Turns out teen pregnancy can be good for ratings. This show, Zoe 101, that stars Jamie Lynn Spears.
Right.
Yeah.
Was the most watched cable show of the week.
Really?
In all of cable.
Was this the first time back or...
Just I don't know which episode it was.
It's the season finale.
Is it season finale?
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
This week's episode of Zoey 101 brought in 5.1 million viewers, more than any other show on cable.
Wow.
How about that?
That's better than Battlestar Galactica or any of the good television shows.
Yeah.
I guess there is no such thing as bad press. I guess this just happens to be true. Today's celebrity birthdays, Breckin Meyer turns 34 years old today. He was in Road Trip, but more importantly, he was in Herbie Fully Loaded.
Sure.
Eagle Eye Cherry's 37 years old today.
Yeah. Still made the list again?
Yeah.
This hour?
I only got four.
All right.
Phil Campbell of Motorhead is 47 years old today. You notice how he walks away so you won't nail him right in the crotch?
I'll punch him right in the groin, and he walks away after he makes that noise.
Because he's scared now. He's a scaredy cat. And Tracy Lords, one of our faves.
Yes.
But only when she turned 18. That's the only time we liked
her. Of course.
Before then, I hated all that sex she was having.
Didn't like her at all.
Hated those scenes.
Not at all.
Wouldn't even look at it.
I was repulsed. But when she turned 18, then I got excited. She's 39 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I predict there's a couple listening to our show right now, Kevin, that will walk down the aisle this summer to that song.
Yeah.
Or it'll be their first dance song. Handlebars will be their song. That's how it works. I'm telling you, a lot of times it's one of those songs that's out at the time that you're dating or, you know, progressing in your relationship, and it just kind of sums up your relationship. And I think Handlebars is going to be one of those songs for a lot of people.
You guys have been making fun of me for a while because mine is... But I'm a creep.
But how is I'm a Creep? How is that a song that says, hey, honey, aren't we happy and young and in love?
No, it's not that. It's that it's the words, you're so very special, I wish I was special. It's the whole you're too good for me kind of a thing. It makes sense to me.
And that's you saying it to her or her saying it to you?
No, it's me saying it to her.
No, I don't know how the thing started. But I mean, most women, though, and back when you were dating your wife and you decided that that was your song, you go to them and go, hey, how about Creep? And they go, hey, how about No?
We didn't really have a formal conversation about deciding.
Oh, I've never had a song. How does it happen?
I don't know really how it happens because I don't think I've really ever had one before.
But I mean, were you on your first date that was playing and you both were singing and you both really liked it?
It was at that time. But I don't know. I mean, most people don't have a formal conversation. And then what happens is the girl finds a really crappy song by Celine Dion and she picks it as your song. And then you're stuck with it forever.
And you're stuck with it forever. You hate it. You have to hear it all the time. And you're, oh, honey, it's our song.
It's our song.
And you're like, screw me. I think a lot of people, it's whatever the love song is that's out on the radio that makes you think of the other person. I think that's a lot of time how it happens. It's a popular song around the time that you're dating. We're going to take some phone calls at 1-800-520-1067, and Mrs. Bean is on the phone. We'll get to her in a second. But here's a perfect example, for instance. K-Rock listeners write in. Hi, Kevin and Bean. We're a happy couple listening to your show. Our song is Korn, Beat It Upright. That's the name of the song.
Oh, good.
Here are the lyrics. Are you ready for a good pounding baby? Are you ready to get it on? Don't pretend you're not. Effing freaky baby. I will spank that ass just for the fun of it. Ass up high, make a mother effer cry. It's so good I could die. That's the song. Their romantic song.
I am changing ours right now.
Beat It Upright.
That's the song. Awesome.
So yesterday when the topic came up, you guys asked me if I had a song, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And I remembered that I did, and I think we've got a clip of the song that Donna and I were courting to back in the day.
Girlfriend in a coma, I know, it's really serious. There were times when I could have murdered her.
And you make fun of my song.
I'm tearing really up just sweet. Hearing it. One of the all-time great bands, of course, the Smiths. And I didn't remember because, you know, I'm me and I have that long-term memory issue. I didn't remember the details of how that became our song. I remember that it was our song, and I do still recognize Donna when I see her, and I know that she's the one that I was dating back then. But I couldn't remember the details of how it happened that ended up being our song, so we thought we'd bring her on the air with us to join us this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Donna.
Hi, Heather.
First of all, was it your song as a couple, or was it Bean's song for you?
Well, it was kind of Bean's song for me.
Right.
But I, you know, as we continued to date, it sort of grew on me and absolutely represented our relationship as it was.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Bean, actually what happened was, you guys remember how we met. It was like whirlwind, love at first sight, so happy. We didn't spend any time apart. So you know, on our first month anniversary, were blissful. And Bean, being the emo that he is,
how dare you?
Decides that, oh my God, this happiness will never last. It must be getting ready to fall apart. So for our first month wedding or dating anniversary, he leaves that on the answering machine for me because he fears we're going to break up. And if we're going to break up, he wants to break up now so that he can get over the pain now.
Really?
And I heard that on the answering machine, and I was so pissed.
There are times when I thought I could murder her.
Murder me? Why?
How's that?
You're pretty much getting it all the time. I'm a super nice girl. I'm smart. We were giddy. I mean, it was. He gave me a key to his apartment, like on date number three.
Wow.
I mean, we were happy.
I'd like to suggest that you were giddy. I don't think Bean's capable of giddy.
Bean was giddy, but Bean was going through his emo phase where he wore like a bullet around his neck. I swear to God.
Well, hold on, Donna. Hold on. In my defense, the birds are dying, okay? There's nothing we can do about it.
He was really freaking. He's like, well, if we're going to break up and it's going to hurt, I just want to feel it now.
So like, oh, my God, Bean.
What a romantic.
So I said, okay, if you really want to break up, we'll break up. And so, you know, we broke up. And I went home. And then he was like, I can't believe you broke up with me. I can't live without you. If you don't come back, the birds will start singing again. And my sun will never shine. And I'll just lay face down on the carpet with the drapes and windows closed.
And that didn't drive you out of the entire state?
Well, I don't know. I was young, and I thought he was amusing.
Yeah. Well, that passed quickly.
What about reflection? That really was not a good idea.
So 4 months after a girlfriend in a coma, then we get married, and that's when the hell began. But yeah. So that's still our song, though. I mean, if we look back on it, that's our song, right?
Seriously, when Bean came home last night, and he goes, we were talking about our songs, and he looked at me, and I said, girlfriend in a coma?
Oh, man.
Wow. Well, that's a beautiful story, Donna.
You guys can mock it all you want. It's weird. It's, you know, it's different. But we've been married almost 17 years. So
yeah.
That is true. That is true.
Although I am still in the basement last night for making fun of him watching The Hills. So
well, okay, we got to go.
First of all, you should make fun of him for that. And second of all, it's hard to think of it as romantic when he broke up with you because he was afraid you were going to break up with him.
Him.
All right.
He was afraid I was going to break up with him, so he just wanted me to do it that day.
I got you.
Yeah, it's better than sitting around waiting for the other shoe to fall. Exactly.
Yeah, but then all right, Donna. Another like 30 minutes later, so it's okay.
Well, that's not much of a breakup. Okay.
I love you. We got to go. Kiss Tater Tot for me.
Okay. Bye.
Kiss
bye.
Tater Tot for me too. Okay.
All right, I'm glad I don't have a song, because that's just retarded.
Girlfriend in a coma.
That's the romantic story. Let's take at least one real quick before the break. The phones are jammed with 1-800-520-1067. I want to talk to Ingrid in Corona, because at least, well, I don't know. This song, I don't see any romance. I don't see any couples. I don't see any love. I don't get it at all. Ingrid, hi. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
What's your song?
Let's see. This one, we had two. One was Anything, Anything by Dramarama, and the other was Let's Make Lots of Money by the Pet Shop Boys.
You've got the talent, I've got the looks. That one?
Let's make lots of money. That's it.
That's not a good song for a couple.
Is that a song for a couple?
Well, at the time it was.
But why, though? No. I mean, were you guys opening a business together? I mean, was that the mantra to try to make the business work, or was it about your romance?
Well, at the time, I guess when you're 18, it's a merger and a business and a romance. And
so I guess it's all kind of the future, all wrapped up into one.
It is. It is when you're that age. And I know I'm going to have my ex-husband call me up probably in the next 5 minutes.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, it'll be lovely.
At least it sounds like it worked out for you, Ingrid. Thank you for the call.
Yes.
Thank you. Bye now. Let's take one more before the break, and then we'll take your calls. Let's go to Brad, who is calling from Whittier. Good morning, Brad.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. Couple songs. What do you got?
Bad Religion, Infected.
You guys met and get an AIDS test? I mean, what happened? What's the story behind that?
I don't know. She just, she was a good girl, you know, didn't really like any Bad Religion or anything. I kind of got her turned on that song, so we made it ours.
Okay.
That is sweet.
Wow.
Anything to play about religion.
All right. Well, good enough. That's
see what you're missing, Lisa?
Good enough reason. Thank you, Brad, for the call. 1-800-520-1067. Your songs, especially if they don't seem like they would fit a couple.
And so far, none do.
Zero out of all the ones we've talked about. We will come right back with your calls next on Kim. Talking about couple songs, Lisa May's never been happier that she doesn't have one.
I am thrilled. These songs are horrible.
Most of these songs blow, I know. It doesn't make any sense.
I'm sure there are a lot of people out there who have the traditional romantic songs, but what fun is that? You know what I mean? Couples like Ralph and his wife, they just have a song that's, you know, romantic and special to them, and there's no fun in that. But we're looking for the songs that you can't believe are actually your couple's songs at 1-800-520-1067.
Let's say, for example,
Rape Me.
I'm just saying if.
That would be terrible.
I'm just saying if that were your song, that would be weird.
I am too sexy for your party.
Okay.
That doesn't make any sense.
Another one
either.
That doesn't work really as well. All right. Let's see. Let's go to, I don't know which one we have here, Mike, or what in what order. Let's go to line 8 and say good morning to Andrea in Carson. Good morning, Andrea.
Hi, good morning, Kevin B. Good morning, Lisa May.
Hi, Andrea.
Talking about a couple songs. Usually, it seems usually like they're picked by the girl, which makes it usually possibly lame. Try to say that in the nicest way possible.
Yeah, well, our song is Bloodhound Gang, The Bad Touch.
Oh. Yes, that's not that song.
That's not that at all.
Excellent.
That's the one about doing it like the animals on the Animal Planet, right?
Channel. Yeah.
Omar, how's it going, Omar?
Sweat, baby, sweat. Sex is a Texas drought, and you do the kind of stuff that only Prince would sing about.
Come on.
Really? Now, is that because when you guys were dating, you guys were just doing it like monkeys? Is that why?
No, that's not why. Well, really, we had just started dating. We'd only been dating a couple months, and, you know, still getting to know each other, and we're riding in the car on the way to a movie or something, and that song came on, and we both just immediately started singing all the lyrics to it, and he loves the Bloodhound Gang, my husband, and
right.
And when he heard me singing the lyrics, he was just like, "Oh my God, you know the lyrics to that song? I've never met a girl who knew all the lyrics to that song." And it was just like a.
And you looked longingly into each other's eyes and said, yes.
Hey, that is exactly the kind of small moment, though, that makes people fall in love. That makes people think, wow, this is my partner. That's a great story. Thank you for the call on that.
We just played this one a second ago. Let's go to Melissa in Riverside. Good morning, Melissa.
Hey, guys. Lisa May.
Hi, Melissa. You're going to have to explain this
to
me.
So you clearly didn't pick. Right? I mean, that's not your choice.
Oh, no, not at all. That was definitely his choice.
Okay. And it's romantic.
Because
how?
I don't know that it's romantic, especially in light of the fact since we're not together anymore. But it was cute at the time.
Sure.
When he said, you know, every time I hear this song, I think of you. And, you know, when you're dating and falling in love, you're like, oh, how sweet.
No, but wait a minute. Wait. You don't say, oh, how sweet if the song's about you hating him.
Were you mean to him?
No, it wasn't mean to him. It was just, I don't know, it was just like kind of a joke in the beginning, and then it just turned out to be our song. And,
I got you.
And then
okay.
It turned out to be true.
All right. And then it turned out to be true.
Every time I hear it, I'm like, hell yeah.
All right, Melissa, thank you. See, she's smart because she picked a song that would double as a breakup song.
Exactly.
That's right.
Good so thinking. What the hell? All right, let's go to Andrea in Yorba Linda. Good morning, Andrea.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good. Thanks.
Okay. Speaking of hate, what do you got for us?
I hate everything about you.
Seems to be a common theme.
Sure does.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. We were just, you know, driving down the road, and he had that, you know, that song was playing on K-Rock, and, you know, my husband heard it, and he's like, yeah, that kind of describes us.
Yes, and you looked at each other, and you said, yes. I hate everything about you, honey. Me too. And
if that's your song, shouldn't you just skip right to the divorce?
Actually, Given the Dog a Bone by AC/DC is playing during our wedding, too.
Oh, all right.
Oh, that's very nice. I'm sure the grandparents appreciated that one.
Sure.
Wow.
Thank you, Andrea, for the call. Let's go to Robert, who is calling from Covina. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning, Kevin Bean. Good morning, Lisa May.
Hi, Robert.
What's your couple song?
Die, My Darling by the Misfits.
Again, a common theme this morning.
Die, Die, My Darling. That's the song.
She was wondering why we don't have a song, and she brought it a few times, and she could be a pain in the butt. As much as I love her, she could be a pain in the butt sometimes, so I picked that one.
Okay. That's so nice. That's good. That's love.
We're just talking to a lot of people who are together and don't want to be. I mean, that's really what this is. Hey, Kevin Abean, this email begins. Ron in Bellflower checks in. Our song is Closer by Nine Inch Nails. For us, it represents our wild and carnal past. We loved it so much that we had our wedding DJ edit a grandma-approved version so we could use it as the entrance song in the chapel. How about that?
Oh, that's a nice song for the entrance. That's
how do you edit? How do you edit that song with all the effing you like an animal in it? I mean, how does that ever work in a way?
I want to beep you like a beep, beep, beep,
beep.
Pretty much
it. That's it.
All right, let's go to Emerald and Bellflower. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. What's your song?
Voodoo by Godsmack.
Now, that is a great song. I don't know any of the words. Is it actually romantic?
No.
We have the least romantic listeners on the planet.
Sorry.
All right. Thank you, Emerald.
Let's close with Trisha in Irvine. She's online, too. Hey, Trisha, you're on the Kevin and Bean Show. You got, I think, maybe the best couple song ever.
Shut your mouth, we're going to do it my way. Come on, baby, don't be afraid. If it wasn't for day rape, I'd never get laid.
How beautiful is that?
That's nice.
Yeah. Tell me that's not it.
Really?
It is.
Sublime.
Wow.
They met at karaoke night, right?
Exactly, yeah. And we were pretty drunk, and I got up and sang that song, and he knew he wanted me.
He knew it was, you were the right one.
Oh, my God.
What woman gets up at karaoke night and sings Date Rape?
A funny one.
I think I want you. Tomorrow morning, by the way, in the 7 o'clock hour, Speed Racer himself will be here. We'll be talking to actor Emil Hirsch about the movie that opens up on Friday, and also the geniuses behind Lost, Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse. These are the guys who have all of the answers of what's going on in Lost, up to and including the last episode. It's all in their heads, and we're going to beat them into submission until they tell it all to us. That'll be at this time tomorrow morning, right here on the Kevin Abean Show, and of course, more tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta 2008.
Time now for the Afro line, 323-520-AFRO. Any topic except the next one is fine.
Kevin and Bean, time for your gossip girl. Serena had a threesome and then killed a dude. That's why we watch it. XOXO, listener Dave.
Okay, well, that does sound promising.
That is a terrible show, but that does sound like something that would make me want to watch it. I will give you that.
Hi, listener Billy here. I would like to dedicate this song to listener Dave. Pigman, he's a pig, he's a man, pigman. Yasmina, what the hell were you thinking?
It's a great question we've all asked many times.
I don't know if you saw this, but in Iron Man, one of our favorite guitarists made a little appearance.
Tom Morello got punched in the face by Iron Man. Can one be so bold to say that he tried to rage against the machine? Oh, I cracked myself up.
Yeah.
Weed.
Weed indeed.
I love Kevin Bean.
I don't know.
Don't know?
I love Wang Bone.
Yeah.
Chicks love Wang Bone.
That's right. The guy was right.
Sam the Armenian Comedian was on our program on Monday, and man, did the people love him.
Sam. You. Sam. Out.
Well, maybe they didn't love him, but they liked him.
Bean, listen, it's the Rockin' Tours, not the Rockin' Tours. There's no rock in a-hole. Get it right.
You guys know how much trouble I have with that word. You know how difficult that word is for me to pronounce. I think I'm doing pretty well with what I've got.
I think you are losing rapidly the ability to say vowels. Every single word that has vowels, you've been changing.
Like Alhambra?
I don't know what you're taking
Alhambra.
About.
Alhambra.
Said A-E-I-O-U-O-Y-O-Y-O-Y-O-Y. Can't be Baxter. Pronounce vowels anymore. He's a dick. Why?
Yeah.
SaveOurTacoTrucks.org. We'll talk to one of the co-sponsors of that very popular website trying to face that very important issue here in Southern California. Coming up after the news at 8 and more tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roast Fiesta 2008. Plus, Laquisha straight ahead. First, Ralph Kramer, what you talking about?
I went to a Save Our Tacos fundraiser once for the porn industry.
Yeah, very different.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Had nothing to do with the taco trucks.
Very different.
I was very surprised. Speaking of fundraisers, I got a lot of response yesterday from when I was talking about the fact that I'm doing a celebrity poker tournament this Saturday to raise money to battle Duchenne muscular dystrophy, which is a horrible disease that kills millions of young men every year. And I wanted to mention, if you're looking for information, the link is now up on the K-Rock Kevin and Bean page. On the links page, you can get the link for all the information for the charity tournament this Saturday at the Peterson Automotive Museum. There's going to be booze and food and celebrities and drinking and gambling, and it's a casino night. You can play blackjack and roulette as well as poker. I'm going to be there. Kevin's going to come by. We've also got Anne Heche from Men in Trees. We've got Willie Garson from Sex and the City. Kevin Weissman from Alias will be there. So come on out if you can and support a very worthy cause. Robert Downey Jr. may be getting an assful of talking to interviewers about, well, various subjects, but mostly he's been promoting Iron Man. According to sources, when he was on the red carpet at the premiere the other day, a reporter stopped and asked him his opinion on the Iraq War.
Really?
Bobby Downey Jr. apparently snapped.
He should have.
Dropped the F-bomb on the guy. A Jericho F-bomb, I think it was. And told him, look, I just took a gig for a big paycheck. Shut the F up and let me have my blockbuster.
That's great.
That's the best response I've ever heard to that question. Because I guess because he played sort of a weapons manufacturer in the movie, yeah, they thought maybe he would have some opinion on the real war in Iraq. And it's pointless.
Yeah.
You watch the TMZ TV show sometimes, Ralph.
I do.
It just drives me crazy that if they get a celebrity and the cameraman has the opportunity to talk to him, they just throw everything out there. Oh, yeah? What do you think of Lindsay? Hey, what do you think of Obama? Yeah. Hey, what do you think of global warming? It's just one right after another that we're supposed to care about what David Spade thinks about Obama.
We should do that sometime. We should bring in some clips of what the paparazzi are asking the celebrities, because we always mock the celebrities for saying stupid things.
That's
but
great
no
idea.
One is dumber than these photographers when they're asking them stuff. I saw they had Lisa Kudrow outside of a new steakhouse on Sunset, BLT Steakhouse.
Right.
Lisa Kudrow Friends. And the guy's like, can you sing some Smelly Cat for me? Would you sing some of that song, Smelly Cat from Friends?
Wow.
And she's like, no. Come on, you're not going to sing just one line? You won't sing one line of Smelly Cat? What, you think you're better? You're better than that? She's like, no, I'm just not going to do it. Well, I don't give up. She said, well, I don't give in. I'm not going to sing Smelly Cat.
Do you have any friends? Are you in favor of friends?
How was your meal?
That's
they always
good topic.
Ask that. Yeah.
That's a good.
How was your meal?
How was your meal?
Poor Lou Ferrigno yesterday. He was on the TV show waiting for his bags. Okay, and they're interviewing him, asking him all these questions about his flight, where he's coming from, what he's doing. Let the guy live. All right, let him be not famous for a second.
Who is he?
Lou Ferrigno was
exactly
the Hulk.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was the Hulk.
Yeah.
I had a very good flight.
Thank you.
I'd like to hear Lisa's impression, if you don't mind.
Sure.
I got a good flight. Thank you.
She does deaf like no one's business.
Yes, she does. Wish I was when I hear her do it. Last night, American Idol was Rock and Roll Hall of Fame night. Woo!
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah, that sucks.
Woo! Tonight we see who gets booted off. Dialidol.com. This is the website that uses technology to gauge the busy signals of the lines when people are voting in.
Right.
That way they can estimate how many people are getting a lot of votes and how many people aren't getting many votes at all. If they get through right away, they know it's not, you know, people aren't calling in to vote.
Why are you bad, America?
They're saying Jason Castro will be voted off tonight.
Thank God. I hope they vote him off the planet.
After his double feature of I Shot the Sheriff by Bob Marley and then Mr. Tambourine Man by Bob Dylan. This is very interesting.
Neither of them are very good choices to showcase your vocal ability either, by the way.
No. Two guys.
Not that he has any, but still.
Not known for their singing talent, primarily.
I think they're fudging with the numbers a little bit over there on Idol, Ralph, because you report every week how the ratings are down on the TV show, but yeah, every goddamn week, Seacrest gets out there and goes, we had the most votes in the history of the show for these contestants that nobody seems to really care about, yet they're claiming 40 million votes a week or something.
See, I believe it, because I think this year, more than any other season, it's 12-year-old girls who are calling and calling
That's
and calling
who it is
and
all
calling
the time,
and
though.
Calling and calling for their teeny bopper dream pinup wannabe
Archuleta
kid, yeah.
But that's not the case with every season?
Well, it seemed primarily, like when Taylor Hick was getting votes that season, he's an old-looking dude with gray hair and everything who was just really a fun performer. I think a lot of people across the board were sort of chiming in on that.
Hmm.
But this year, it's pretty much reduced to these poster boys.
And you guys.
I'm with Kevin, by the way, that it's a terrible show.
Thank you. I'm coming around to Kevin's.
I gotta be honest. I don't know that I can give it up yet, this close to the end. There's only two shows left, but still.
It's bad.
It's bad. It is bad.
You're not giving up.
He's given up.
You're not going to
He's going to give up.
You're not giving up.
He's given up.
He's not.
I sat out one season. I did not watch the Carrie Underwood season, and I'm kicking myself still. For
See? See what you yeah. missed?
Because you never know. You never know how awesome it's going to be.
Never know how awesome it's going to be. Good point. Lindsay Lohan. I'm sorry. Lindsay Lohan has been fingered for...
Oh, hey, no. My goodness.
For stealing a mink coat.
Oh.
Sorry. Fingered is in a... I accuse you.
Mm.
J'accuse, as the French
There's
say.
There's no hair on her vagina. Do you think she's okay?
That's not what he...
Nope.
No.
Not at all.
Right.
She stole a mink coat worth $11,000, according to a Columbia University student. Masha Markova is her name. She was invited to a party that was hosted by Stavros Niarchos.
Oh.
Jeez, I feel like I'm working at the United Nations with this story. Apparently, Lindsay was also there. It was at a nightclub, apparently, where they had an empty room where you would just throw your jackets, a common bin for jackets there. And when Lindsay left the club, apparently, she stole an $11,000 mink coat. Masha knows that because she went to get her coat. It was gone. And then 2 weeks later, she's flipping through OK Magazine. And boom, there's a photograph of Lindsay wearing the fur coat.
That's awesome. What's up with that?
Wait a minute. I know that jacket. So she contacts Lindsay's lawyer, and 2 days later, an anonymous box shows up at mail to her apartment containing the coat, which Masha says smelled of cigarettes and booze and had a slight tear in the lining. Well, Masha's not happy just to get the coat back. She wants Lindsay to own up to swiping it. A spokesperson for Lindsay had no comment. However, a representative for the nightclub confirmed that they did deliver Markova's fur coat back to her in February, but a spokesperson for the club said, I am not the coat keeper. I'm not sure where the coat was. The coat keeper.
Yeah.
It's like something out of Ghostbusters. Are you the coat keeper?
By the way, Anonymous Box is playing the Weenie Roast as well. We haven't mentioned that.
Oh, they're good.
Yeah.
It sounds like that ought to be the end of the story, whether it was an honest mistake or not. The woman returned the dress, but Harvey told, or the coat, but Harvey told us that now she's trying to sue Lindsay as a rental fee for the 2 weeks that Lindsay had the coat.
It's ridiculous.
That's good. Hey, it happened to have been a celebrity, so maybe I can get some cash out of it, right?
But nobody, unless you're Kevin, nobody accidentally takes someone else's coat home thinking it's theirs.
You wouldn't think
You don't see a fur coat and say, oh, yeah, that's mine. It looks just like mine, and then take it in.
But then why would she take a picture in OK Magazine and.
Because she probably figured no one would ever know that I took this coat. And I'm
But I'm also
going to
say, I'm also going to agree with you, Ralph, in that no regular person would not know what coat they wore to a party. But Lindsay Lohan is one of those celebrities who gets free clothes all the time, lots of things that she only wears once.
So she didn't know what she wore to that nightclub that night.
Maybe she
I'm saying it's not inconceivable. That's all.
Inconceivable.
we hear reports all the time about how she'll be at just some random house party and do like five costume changes. Like, she'll just go in and out. That, I mean, so I could see.
We thought they were her costumes. Apparently not.
She's just taking other people's clothes. It's not costume changes. She's just swiping other people's clothing.
I just love, though, that this woman whose coat it was, now TMZ is putting up all these pictures of her kissing other girls, like out just partying and showing her boobs and everything. It's just awesome.
Yeah. I was in Vegas over the weekend and speaking to someone in the know who would know something.
Yeah.
And had a first-hand account of Lindsay Lohan and three gentlemen doing something at a party that you would not believe she would do in public and didn't seem to care that anyone was watching.
Is that right?
Yes.
What did it involve?
It involved being, as the kids call it, airtight.
Oh, no. No.
So I'll just leave it at that. As if I haven't said already too much.
I think I understand.
That's awesome.
Something that Lars couldn't do.
You don't know what airtight is?
Uh-uh.
All right.
Okay, Lisa, Lars couldn't do it with his real girl by himself, all right? He needs some help.
Let's say you were in an airplane.
Okay.
And you find out that the fuselage of the airplane, the shell of the airplane, has three holes in it.
Uh-huh.
And it's taking in a lot of air.
Uh-huh.
So in order to seal up those three holes, you would have to plug each of the holes with something.
In order to create a situation where the hole would be airtight, so no air would get in.
Okay.
I got it. What's your problem?
Well, I'm sorry.
Of all people, he should have.
I thought for sure. There's a porn series called Airtight.
Of course.
By the way.
Has to be.
There is, absolutely.
Oh, really?
I prefer double parts. It's in my series.
Double parts? That was yours? Anyway.
Well,
all righty.
Mike, you've seen DVDA. You've seen them perform around Hollywood from time to time, right?
Yeah. They are good.
We're in that vein, right?
Yeah.
Only more.
I'm not really unfamiliar with the poll.
Okay.
Yeah, that's enough. Today's celebrity birthdays. Phil Campbell of Motorhead is 47 years old today.
Yes.
Actress Yes, thank you. All right. Mike agrees. Actress Tracy Lords, speaking of airtight.
Yeah.
She is 39 years old today. Eagle Eye Cherry is 37. Breckin Meyer, a very talented young actor, is 34. I'm Ralph Garman. I'm Ralph Airtight Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
And we also just gave away a pair, as we do at the top of every hour all week long here on K-Rock. Erica Azoyan from Orange just won her tickets. Not Glendale, strangely, Orange. Mm. So congratulations and your chance to win coming up. We've been talking all week about this Save Our Taco Trucks controversy. You may not be aware of this, but these taco trucks that you see all over town that have been there for decades and decades now are going to be faced with some new regulations coming up later this month where they are not going to be allowed to stay in the same location for more than an hour at a time. And we're trying to figure out, what's that all about all of a sudden? Why now is there a problem? So we have Eric Glenn on the line. She is a spokesperson for the Save Our Taco Trucks petition at saveourtacotrucks.org. Good morning, Erin.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Well, we're fine. What's, no pun intended, but what's the beef? I mean, what's going on here?
Why do they not want to see tacos?
It's not that they don't want you to eat tacos. I think they don't want you to eat them at a taco truck. I think that Supervisor Molina has felt some kind of pressure from restaurant owners in East LA.
Oh, I see. They don't want you buying cheaper food from these trucks because they would rather sell it to you at a higher price.
I guess so, yes. And they feel that these taco trucks present a competition that they don't think is fair. And because of that, she has felt compelled, along with the rest of the Board of Supervisors, to pass this kind of legislation.
Let me ask you this question. Is it possible that the taco trucks could do the exact same thing, just stay in one location for an hour and then move someplace else for an hour? I mean, is it really...
No, I don't think so. I think on a lot of levels that would be impossible, and it would just make it really difficult. I mean, just with gas prices, it would be very costly for a taco truck to just pick up and move every single hour. And then, you know, there are not always spaces available, and these taco trucks, a lot of them have been established. They've been in the same location for more than 10 years. People in their area know where they're at.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it would affect business in a big way.
Yeah, they said it really would cut down on their business because people wouldn't know where to find them.
Right.
Sure, yeah. But here's what I don't understand, Erin. Nothing has changed. This whatever problem the restaurateurs are describing that you've told us was true a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Why now? I mean, what? Why all of a sudden is the focus on these trucks?
Truthfully, I don't know.
Are there more trucks, maybe?
There might be in different parts of the county, but, I mean, these trucks have been around for ages. I've seen them ever since, as long as I can remember.
Yeah.
Right. Now, the law that you're describing has already been passed and will go into effect on May 15th. Do I have that correct?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. And is this one of those laws that is kind of passed just to shut somebody up, or is this a law that's actually going to be enforced? I mean, are police officers going to be using their time driving around and checking, like, you know, marking the tires like they do in parking garages to make sure that these trucks are moving every hour? And if they don't, I mean, are they literally going to arrest people and charge them with this?
I think so. I mean, the rumor is that this is going to touch off in East LA and that the sheriffs are going to enforce this. And yes, I mean, if taco trucks don't change the location every hour, they're subject to a $1,000 fine.
Mm-hmm.
And or 6 months in jail and or a misdemeanor.
Well, I mean, I think that's fine because we have plenty of room in the jails.
Sure.
So yeah. That works out well.
Well, listen, we can use the money. The city could definitely use the money.
What if they, is it specifically written, you know, specific enough that they couldn't just move a foot, 2 feet, 3 feet, still be in the same place?
Yeah.
Truthfully, I don't know. I mean, I really
Well, there's
know.
Your loophole right there, Erin. I mean, that's it. I mean, you back up 6 inches and you say to the police officer, yeah, I'm not in the same spot I was an hour ago.
That's something to think about, definitely.
Now, what is your involvement in this, in that why are you one of the spokespersons for the Save Our Taco Trucks petition? Is your family in this business, or are you just looking out for the little guy, or what's the deal?
Kind of both. I don't have any family in the business, but I do have a close friend whose father owns a taco truck. And I was a community organizer before I got involved with this. It's just something that outrages me. I have gone to taco trucks my whole life. I'm part Mexican myself, mm-hmm. and these are, you know, these are cultural institutions, and not only cultural, but just it's an LA institution, and I feel part of the outrage for me was there are so many other issues that we need to focus on in this city.
No, no, everything else has been solved. That's where you're wrong. Everything is fine. No homeless.
Now that we got the traffic moving, you know, there's no, they've got nothing but time for stuff like this.
Right. Well, and all children have books to
sure,
read.
That's
and,
true, too. Mm-hmm.
Well, there are an awful lot of people, Aaron, and I'm sure you feel this way, too, who feel like the government is going out of its way in this case to hurt people who are out there working and trying to make a living. I mean, like, aren't they the last people the government should be worried about? Shouldn't they be worried about the people who aren't contributing?
Yes, definitely. People who own taco trucks, they pay taxes. They are legit.
Yeah. And how's the petition going? Are you getting a lot of signatures?
Oh, yeah. I believe there are about 6,000 signatures now, probably more.
And no matter how many you get, what does that mean in terms of real effect on the law that's supposed to go into effect May 15th? I mean, it's already been passed, right?
Yes, it's already been passed. I mean, hopefully somebody in somebody on the board can say, you know, this is people are outraged. We need to repeal this or amend it or somehow find an alternative.
By the way, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I didn't know until I read the Time magazine article on this that there's a dude named Leo's Taco Truck, and he's considered the Kobe Bryant of taco trucks.
Yes. No kidding.
I didn't know that existed. I didn't know there was somebody that special.
We need to go get those tacos.
We need to get Leo on the case. He'll handle things. He'll carry the rest of the taco trucks on his shoulders to the playoffs and right to the championship.
Just don't let him drive his taco truck to Colorado. All right, so saveourtacotrucks.org is the site if our listeners want to go for more information or if they want to sign up. And I guess now at least we understand what your plan is to show that there's enough feedback from the community that you can take it back to the L.A. Board of Supervisors and say, hey, consider repealing this. That's the goal, right, Aaron?
That's the goal, definitely.
Okay.
And if need be, you know, maybe we can have a lobby visit with Supervisor Molina herself where she can talk face-to-face with constituents. And taco truck owners and just really find out how people are actually being affected.
Okay, good deal. Listen, we'd be willing to talk about this more with a few tacos once in a while. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm not seeing a truck out in front of K-Rock this morning, if you get my meaning, Aaron.
Okay, well, I'll get back to you. I'll try to work that out.
Just say it. Grease the wheels a little bit here. Maybe a little publicity in it for you.
I think she gets it. Yeah. Thank you, Aaron. We appreciate it.
Okay, have a good one.
Bye now.
Let's check in with our favorite Kevin and Bean listener. She is LaQuisha. She's on the line talking about last night's Tila Tequila Shot at Love 2 on MTV. Good morning, LaQuisha.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How y'all doing?
We are good, thank
you. We're fine. You know, you haven't mentioned your hairstyling place anymore. Are you still working at the Afro-Roman Empire?
I still own and operate the Afro-Roman Empire, yes. So if you need to get some hair relaxed, or you need a cut, or you need a perm, anything you need, you come on down.
All right.
Okay. We'll absolutely take you
Bean
up on that.
Bean needs all of that,
yeah,
by the way.
I've seen a picture of Bean, and I think he needs my help, something desperate.
Maybe I'll come down and see you in the neighborhood before the weenie roast, LaQuisha. How's your girlfriend Tila Tequila doing? Is she still as lovely and as beautiful as ever?
And as gracious and as classy
Excellent.
As ever. And
Excellent.
I want to apologize for all the things I said about her in this program, because I realized watching the episode last night that she really is looking for true love.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
There's 8 white trash, foul-mouthed lesbians left, and 8 mouth-breathing, obnoxious frat boys left.
Right.
And Tila, because she is looking for true love, has them compete in something she calls the biathlon.
Okay.
Because she's bisexual, you see.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
And it's
wow.
a bunch of events that they have to perform that are all very double innuendo in nature, you see.
Sure.
But before they get started, they need to get in the proper outfit to compete in this biathlon, guys versus girls.
This time around, the course is even harder. So first, you're going to put on your wetsuit, goggles, and flippers. You have to wear all of that for the entire race.
I would wear that if I was going to have sex with Tila Tequila, I think. You need goggles and a full yep. hazmat suit and gloves.
And I think you're right, though, LaQuisha. We were wrong about her. That is the way to find true love.
Absolutely. Now you understand what I'm saying.
You're right.
And they have to go through and perform all these tasks. Like, they have to stick their head into a big pool, a kiddie pool full of blue balls.
Oh, no, they didn't.
See?
And fish out the one that's got a special symbol on it with their mouth. You can't use your hand in the blue balls. And then you have to jump in a pool and you have to find a pearl necklace.
Oh, come on. No way. You're making this up.
Which is a very original idea, I think.
No way.
Personally. And Chad, you remember Wang Bone? Wang
Bone
Chad?
Of course. Yeah.
He is very happy about looking for the pearl necklace.
Pearl necklaces is easy. Girls love my necklaces.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Thank you.
Now, just when I thought the show had hit an all-time low and could not get more offensive to me personally, they have Dominic, the only black contestant on the show, mind you, having him be nervous about getting in the pool. You see, because there's a long-standing stereotype that black people can't swim.
Of course.
And that's not true, LaQuisha, or it is true?
It's not true.
Mm. Not true, okay.
And they asked Dominic about that.
It's like, damn, brother gonna have to swim a little here.
Yeah, he's nervous about that. And I said, that is offensive to me personally as an African-American until he got in the pool.
Dominic's off to a great start, but then it looks like he can't swim.
Nope, brother sank like a stone.
Oh, no.
Right to the bottom of the pool. Had to hold on to the edge of the pool and literally work his way around to get to the other side because he was going to die.
Oh, my God, that's so funny.
Yeah, I think the weight of the pearl necklace just was too much for Dominic to not hold on. Then in the stage where they're looking in the blue balls, Glitter, a lesbian stripper from Arizona named Glitter.
Sure.
Okay.
Had problem finding the right balls.
I get to pull with the balls in it, and I'm not really good at getting balls in my mouth. You know what I mean?
Nope. Don't understand it.
I don't understand what she's trying to say.
That's not clear.
No. Well, the girls win the biathlon, and so they get to spend a very special date time with Tequila. And so Tila's spending time with each of the girls, and one girl she's talking to is talking about keeping her guard up, but she seems so reserved, and they get into a very deep conversation.
That's why I have my guard up, because I don't want to get hurt, but
I have to remind myself to put down my guard, because I recently just got dumped.
Shut up!
She did not!
She didn't get
dumped! You're not saying that anymore! You could not get dumped when you had a boyfriend the whole time you were on the first season of the show. And then you wouldn't give the guy who won your phone number. That's not dumping.
Yeah.
That's having a boyfriend and not giving somebody your number.
Right.
Well, the guys are upset that she's on a date with all the girls, so they do the only thing they can think of, which is to break into their room, go through all their belongings in their suitcases, take out all their underwear, and string it up all over the place like a panty raid.
No, they didn't.
First annual panty raid, shot of a panty raid.
Wow.
I am surprised any woman finds any man attractive anyway, anytime.
For this show, I'm with you, yeah.
Well, the girls get back from their date, and you got some angry lesbians on your hands when they see all their stuff thrown all over the place, and their suitcases been gone through, and their underwear hanging everywhere, and it leads to some hurt feelings. So one of the lesbians talks to Jersey, who is the guy who says Jersey's not a bitch.
Sure.
And they have to sit down and have a long, lengthy conversation about respecting people's property, about respecting people's rights to privacy. They have a long conversation, and it made me feel good to know that these two people could have a meeting of the minds like this.
Get the f*** out of my house. Get the f*** out of my house. You come in here f***ing ruining my
I didn't touch you.
Well, they handled it like adults.
I thought I was watching Charlie Rose on PBS for a minute.
Wow.
I forgot what show I was watching. I was like, wow, this is like Face the Nation.
That is spectacular.
Yeah, they didn't have a good time. And this upsets Glitter, the lesbian stripper from Arizona.
Sure.
She starts to cry because of all the yelling. She's a sensitive person. And she starts to cry and she tells us why.
I want to be here for Tila so bad. I admired her because she came on and she admitted her sexuality and that took balls, and that's why I fell in love with her. Like, I really think the guys are just here to party and have fun, but I am here because I want to fall in love with Tila.
No way you made that up.
I wish I had.
Wow.
That's real. That's some crying stripper right there.
Wow.
Fantastic.
It's time to move on to the next competition, which is called the conveyor belch.
Oh, really? God.
Yeah. It is a conveyor belt, one for the guys, one for the girls, that comes out with little shot glasses on it. And they have to line up, and one by one they go up and they have to grab the shot glass off the conveyor belt and shoot it back.
Sure.
But it's not liquor that you think it would be. It's things like clam juice and hot sauce and tartar sauce and canola oil. And
that's crazy.
They make them drink this stuff that's horrible. And I don't think even MTV expected the results of what was going to happen when these people started drinking this stuff.
Immediately after we took the first shot, everybody was puking.
Uh-oh! All my own puke went all over my face.
All right.
Never seen so much puking on a television show before. Never.
We're done. We're
done. I don't care what you watch in your lifetime. You'll never see more people throwing up. 16 people were throwing up aggressively.
That's the best.
But it gets better.
How?
Because remember last season where she tried to have people prove how much they loved her by eating horrible things?
Yeah.
And so she had them eat bull's penis and testicles.
Oh.
You remember that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
The girls win the conveyor belt competition, but now they got to narrow it down to one girl. So they get the girls to line up and prove how much they want to spend time with Tila.
So last season, all the guys and girls had to prove their love by eating a bull's penis and testicles.
Oh.
Ladies, you will be eating a pig's vagina!
Okay. This isn't a real show anymore, Lakeisha.
This is the best show ever.
This isn't real.
This is the best show ever.
Come on. What are you doing?
A pig's vagina.
No one's ever said those words more excited than she did.
That's right. That's what they had to do.
That's great.
And I'm not even going to bother telling you about the rest of the show because it don't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Please tell. There's no way to get better than
that's
that.
That's the best.
The show's canceled, though.
No
right? This
no
is the last
way.
Episode. Please
no,
tell
that
me.
She voted off four people. Now it's down to six lesbians and six guys left.
God.
So next week, who knows what they're going to be eating.
I can't wait.
I hope it's more pig's vagina.
I love that.
How do you follow making everyone barf and then making them eat pig's vagina? How do you follow that?
Well, maybe think they're hungry because their stomach's been emptied.
Oh, dear God.
Get some nutritious vagina in them.
Nice job, Lakeisha.
Nutritious vagina, by the way. They're playing Weedy Rolls.
That's correct. They are.
You're right.
Yeah. Yes.
See you later, girlfriend.
Bye now.
All right. We have tickets for the K-Rock Weedy Roast E-Fiesta 2008. The bands are Metallica, The Offspring, The Raconteurs, Rise Against Pennywise, Bad Religion, The Bravery, Scars on Broadway, Seether, Flogging Molly, and a whole bunch more. At krock.com, you can find out all the information. And it's time to give away a pair, and this is how we're going to do it.
The hour's approaching to give it your best.
Right, so you could pull from all of those bands that I just mentioned, and you have to tell us which bands and song titles these are in order.
Ooh.
And it's a montage of tiny little clips like this. That's it.
Oh,
got it.
God.
Got it. Done.
I couldn't do that.
But for everybody else, maybe let them hear it again.
I have the list, and I couldn't do it. Here you go. One more time, and then call us up at 1-800-520-1067. Band and song title in order. I guess we don't want anyone to go. Somebody always gets this, though. It's really
and someone will get this one too.
Fascinating. So we'll take your calls. This is a super tough montage.
It is.
You got to name the bands and the titles in order.
The hour's approaching to give it your best, and you've got to reach your prime. That's when you need to put yourself to the test and show us the passage of time.
What I like about it, though, is that it's not just somebody who picks up the phone and, you know, misdials and gets through to K-Rock and wins tickets. This is somebody who knows and loves this music and will have a fantastic time May 17th at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater because they'll be seeing all these songs live on stage. They know this music. You have to in order to be able to identify these five songs by title and artist from the tiny clips we're going to give you.
Now, That seems harder than any montage we've ever done to me.
It does to me, too.
But you got to come up with the band and the song name in order. So you might have two through there's five songs. We'll tell you that. There's five songs.
Okay.
You might have two through five, but if you don't get one first, it doesn't count. Okay. So that's how we're doing it.
Let me hear it again, then we'll go to the phones. Okay. 1-800-520-1067. By the way, Racer X himself, Matthew Fox, joins us after the news at 9. Let's find out if anyone is getting close. Shall we talk to Mike in the LBC? Excuse me, I'm sorry. Chris in Anaheim is on line 4. Hi, Chris. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, guys. Hi, Lisa and May.
Hello.
All right, let me play it for you one time, and then you're going to have to give us your guesses. Ready?
Go ahead.
Here you go.
Title and artist. What do you got? Who's first?
I couldn't hear the first one. I have two through five, but I can't do the first. I have no idea.
What are the chances of that?
You have number two, number three, number four, and number five, but you don't have the first one?
Uh-huh, and I don't want to say two through five to help anybody else out. So.
Well, God forbid.
You're going to take everyone down with you.
All sure, right, yeah. Of course.
I'm going to say, okay, but we need a guess for the first one, or we've got to move on.
Is it the Bravery?
No.
No. Sorry. Thank you, though. Okay, so at least two through five people have already gotten. That's good news. So just crack that first one, and you're in pretty good shape.
And you know the first one is not the Bravery.
Yes.
Okay. Mike in Long Beach, good morning.
Is the first one Pennywise, Western World?
No.
Sorry.
Let's play it again while you dial 1-800-520-1067. Pay particular attention to the first one. Yeah, that's a tough.
That's,
I mean, it's
really
a big K-Rock song that we played a lot.
Yeah.
But it's a pretty tough clip. I agree.
Let's go to Aaron in Whittier. Good morning, Aaron.
Hey, good morning, Kevin and Bean, Lisa May.
Good morning.
The montage, you got it?
Is the first one Bad Religion, Los Angeles is Burning?
Yes.
Yes, it is. Well,
how did you
done.
Get that? All right, that's one.
Number two, Pennywise in Western World.
Okay, well, we're on the board at least, man. Thank you for playing. That was good.
We're getting started. Let's go to Neil in Torrance. Good morning, Neil.
Yeah.
All right, montage. First one is Bad Religion, Los Angeles is Burning. What else you got?
I got Offspring, Keep Them Separated.
We are going to allow that.
Close enough.
That is part of the title. That's in parentheses after the song, which is actually called Come Out and Play. But we'll give you that one. You're two for two. Keep going.
Then I heard Steady As She Goes.
No. You might have heard it, but you didn't hear it next.
Right. We need them in order. I'm sorry. Thank you, though.
Sorry, dude. All right. 1-800-520-1067. We'll play it for you one more time.
You know, when you hear it enough, you can sort of start to hear the separation in the clips. You can start to hear that it really is five separate beats of songs.
Not
but
me.
You can.
Not me. I wouldn't even be close to getting this. Sam in Garden Grove. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Hi. I do.
All right, we got the montage. Right, what are they? The
first song, Bad Religion, Infected.
Well, not really. As
we kind of already gave you that one.
That's
dude.
The only
sure
one.
You don't
want
to try that one again,
dude? I wasn't paying attention.
Oh, man.
All right, let's play it a couple more times and then take a break and come back. And I bet we'll have a winner or close to it before we go to the showbiz beat.
All right, one more time. 1-800-520-1067.
Mosquito Coast is the number one selling insect repellent and sunscreen combination. It blocks the burn and the bite. Its unique formula is ideal for the entire family. Look for Mosquito Coast in the sunscreen section. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Can you repeat the part of the stuff where you said all about the things?
Yeah, I didn't get that either. All right.
All right, we've got a little bit of a problem. Ralph is here with the showbiz beat, which we are eager to hear, but we're also fielding phone calls at 1-800-520-1067, looking to see who the first listener is who can identify these five songs in the montage by title and artist. They're all bands that are going to be playing the K-Rock Weenie Roast Fiesta 2008. Okay.
Got it.
So you go ahead and call, and maybe we'll have a winner, Ralph, by the time you finish your report.
All right.
Time
today's
for the
celebrity
beat.
Birthdays. See how good people are. You know, we were talking about Lindsay Lohan. I'm sorry.
Lindsay Lohan!
Yes. Stealing that mink coat.
Right.
And everyone said, oh, maybe she just got confused. Maybe she's an unfrozen caveman starlet and she didn't know who gets to own coats when. Thank God.
I don't think I even understood that.
That's what you said.
I was suggesting for folks who weren't with us last hour that she's one of those stars who wears a lot of different outfits, sometimes more than one in one day. They're not always her clothes. She borrows them, and maybe she just didn't remember what coat she showed up to that particular event in. That's all I said.
Well, Your Honor, I present into evidence the following.
Yes.
Thank God for our listeners. A listener sent me an email, said, Bean smoking crack. She's a known thief.
It was just a theory. I'm not defending her. I was just wondering out loud if maybe that's what could have happened. That's all.
And sent me a few stories from the past year where Lindsay has been caught stealing other things.
I don't think I remember
mostly
that.
Clothing.
Hard to believe.
This story comes from April 24th, 2007. Lindsay went to the home of her ex-friend, Lauren Hastings, after they had a falling out, and told a friend who was staying there at the house that she had forgotten some of her possessions and she needed to pick them up.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out she walked out with over $10,000 worth of clothing and other items from Lauren Hastings' closet.
Dude.
Really?
Here's the quote. The mutual friend saw Lindsay leaving with everything, but just didn't think that Lindsay would actually be lying about the clothes and steal her best friend's, her ex-friend's things. At the time, the friend was under the impression that Lindsay and Lauren were still friends. That is, until Lauren came home the following day screaming and yelling, "Where have all my clothes? Where are my things?"
That's my awesome. God.
Exhibit A. Exhibit B. The story coming from, 8507. According to page 6, New York Post, Louis Vuitton will no longer lend Lindsay Lohan any clothing after she attempted to steal clothing from the fashion designer at an Elle magazine photo shoot.
Really?
Here's the quote. Lindsay kept shoving the clothes into her bag, and the stylist assistant kept pulling them out of the bag, only to have Lindsay keep trying to stuff them back into the bag.
Guilty, 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 guilty!
She ended walking up with a very expensive shirt and some other items, which screwed Louis Vuitton because they were set to go to a Vogue, W, and Harper's Bazaar for other shoots, but the clothing was missing, so they couldn't use them for other models.
Oh, my God.
So there you go. Little Miss Thiefy.
But Lindsay Lohan is a fire crutch. And she has freckles coming out of her and her is 7 feet long.
And sticky fingers, too.
Apparently so, yes.
Apparently that, too.
Pam Anderson, speaking of clothing.
Yes.
Things must have fallen on hard times for old Pammy. Apparently she had a garage sale over the weekend.
A garage sale?
Yeah, she had a yard sale at her home.
Okay.
Where she was selling off some of her things. Brand new golf cart. Hey, how much for the golf cart?
Who goes to garage sales that can afford that?
I know.
You try to talk them down from 50 cents to a quarter for a pair of jeans. That's what you do.
Several chocolate fondue machines. How many do you own? How many do you have to put up for sale?
Wow.
Well, she's had a lot of weddings. Maybe they're all gifts.
A pink butt blaster exercise machine.
Okay.
Butt blaster, by the way. Used to be my psycho.
Porn name?
My porn name.
Yeah.
I was looking at Psycho Mike when I said it, because I think that used to be his porn name, actually.
He's not going
to
help.
And lastly, several pairs of her underwear.
Whoa!
Also up for sale at the yard sale.
How much?
Yeah, it's too late now. All the proceeds went to Pammy's favorite charity, PETA, apparently. And the cameras captured all her wheeling and dealing for an upcoming reality TV show featuring
Pammy. Of course.
Ugh.
So I'm guessing they staged this just to have something to put on her TV show.
Pam Anderson?
Yes.
Pam Anderson?
That's a good
question. Well, I'm sorry, my Jesus. Hey, man. Do you do any work on Honeymoon?
Let's just strike the Pam Anderson
clip. No, that's
clip.
A good clip. He says about half of it.
From the library, shall we?
Pam Anderson?
Come on. That's just, even for this show, that's poor quality.
Pam Anderson? What was that?
Let's hit it. Pam Anderson?
How about the basketball game?
How about the basketball game?
Ralph, you mind if we talk to our winner real quick before the birthdays?
No way.
I apologize.
Have a winner.
Somebody got to ask it.
Mother effing montage.
Well, we'll see.
Louis and Glendale?
Glendale!
How you doing?
Here's the montage. Give us the answer, please.
That killed Louis.
Okay. It's Bad Religion, Los Angeles is Burning.
Yes.
Offspring, Come Out and Play.
Yes.
Metallica, Wherever I May Roam.
Yes.
Pennywise, F Authority.
Yes.
And the Rock and Tour, Steady As She Goes.
That is not possible.
Wow.
I want to say that's not possible.
He just did it, Kevin.
Nope, not possible.
But he just did it. You heard it with your own ears. He got them all right.
He cheated. Lindsay Lohan came into the building, took the answers, and gave them to him. That's what happened.
Louis, congratulations. You no longer have to worry about when the tickets go on sale because you've already got yours. We'll see you Saturday, May 17th at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater, dude.
Thanks, man.
Nicely done.
Okay, congratulations.
I could sooner eat a pig's vagina than guess all those songs. Today's celebrity birthdays, Breckin Meyer from Road Trip and other feature films. He is 34 years old today. Eagle Eye Cherry celebrates his 37th birthday. Still never got any Eagle Eye to play, did we?
No, because no one knows who he is.
No audio reminder for his big smash hit song, Stay Tonight.
Save Tonight.
Save Tonight. Save Tonight.
Whatever it was.
One of my favorite songs.
Something my old Eagle Ears tonight. Cherry that you love so much.
Good old Eagle knows.
Staying the night.
Sam Anderson? Yeah.
Stop that. I insist you strike that from the bank. Why from the audio bank.
Sam Anderson?
Why are we unable to get at the end of that? I mean,
I don't know.
Under what circumstances did the N go away?
And who's that?
Pam Anderson? Like,
oh, I need to have Leslie Nielsen saying Pam Anderson. I must have that clip.
Pam Anderson?
He doesn't say anything about her. Just the name Pam Anderson.
It just makes me laugh.
Phil Campbell of Motorhead is 47 years old today.
Yeah,
no.
Well, we're at it.
And Tracy Lords, one-time porn star, then she became a mainstream actress.
Then she turned 18.
Working mostly for John Waters in his films. She is 39 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Skip and Steve Robbins for Robbins Brothers' new MSID Diamond.
Hey, Skip, you know what the MSID in our new MSID Diamond could stand for? Massively supersized incomparable diamond.
No, Steve. MSID stands for Mr. Smith.
Death toll rises in Burma, and the aid barely trickles through. Part of it's just the territory, part of it's the generals and their secrecy.
As survivors struggle without food, water, or shelter, much of the outside world's urgent generosity is still going nowhere.
Can you say Medvedev? Can you say Medvedev? Or Medvedev? No matter. Dmitry is Russia's new president, but his new prime minister is former President Putin. We'll see who's in charge. Which sounds better? President McCain? President Clinton? President Obama? None of the above. Obama's big win in North Carolina, Hillary's narrow win in Indiana. Leave him with the edge, but her still clinging. When fuel goes up, what else goes up? Oh, everything, including electricity. However, LA's DWP is adopting a two-tier, if it's hotter in the valley, you'll pay a little less, not more, rate structure. Bail $3 million for Santa Monica teacher Thomas Beltran. Accused of molestation, and now they say there's tape. Selling drugs on campus, selling drugs online. Six fraternities at San Diego State University are suspended. 95 busted. Game two tonight, Utah at the Lakers. Dodgers, Mets, Angels, KC again, and mostly 60s. 60 at K-Rock. I'm Doc on the Rock.
Caller 20 to K-Rock now. Wins tickets to the K-Rock Winnie Rosie Fiesta 2008.
800-520-1067.
Win tickets every hour.
106.7 KROQ-FM.
HD1.
Pasadena.
Los Angeles.
The world famous K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 10 minutes after 9 o'clock.
Every hour, all day long, all week long on K-Rock, we're giving away tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Rose Tea Fiesta 2008. Brian Johnson from Moreno Valley just won his. So congratulations, Brian. Your chance to win in less than an hour. Speed Racer is finally here, Kevin. We've been hearing about it for the past 2 years. This is one of the most anticipated movies of the summer and certainly one of the ones that has been the most secretive while it was being made. Very few details are leaking out, and I think we're gonna hold the feet to the fire of our next guest, Matthew Fox, and find out what the hell is going on with Racer X in this movie opening everywhere Friday. Good morning, Matthew. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show.
How are you guys doing?
Very good, thank you.
Great to talk to you again. I'm right when I say how secretive this project has been from the beginning. Those Wachowski brothers, they don't give much away ahead of the film's release, do they?
No, they're pretty secretive in that way. They also are pretty private about their own lives, and, you know, I certainly respect that a great deal. But, you know, and the script was not really released very widely. Only the people who were getting involved in the project got an opportunity to read the script. And we shot the movie in Berlin, and there was really no imagery or anything released from it. So.
Does one of them have a gun to your head right now in case you say the wrong thing?
No,
okay.
Not at all.
All right.
Now, so often, especially when it comes to the big summer movies, you hear, this is like nothing you've ever seen before. I mean, it almost seems every summer there's one movie that's going to take whatever you're talking about to a whole new level. But for some reason, because it's the Wachowski brothers, they're the Matrix dudes, I kind of believe that they've got some tricks up their sleeves that will really be things we've never seen in movies before.
I guarantee you that. I've seen the movie twice. It's blown me away. I can't wait to see it a bunch more times. There's stuff going on in it that you just, I mean, basically the impossible happens in it, and it's just absolutely amazing. I'm really, really proud to be a part of it. They certainly have done what they did with the original Matrix things and just took some visual things and new technologies and the way that you can see films and the way that they can actually be put together to a new level.
There are very few people that you can say, I know when I go into a theater, this is going to be unique. And they are, you know, as far as I'm concerned, pretty much at the top of the list.
Yeah.
I completely agree. And I can say this with, I mean, I've been in this business for 17 years working on things. Don't miss this movie. It's visually stunning. It's also got a heart. It's talking about ideas that are really important. It's amazing. I'm really proud to be a part of it.
I hope you're not counting all that time on the island somehow as work, though. When you were stuck? I hope you're not counting that as 17 years in the business. Okay, good.
It is work. Very, very hard work.
Let me ask you about this, because a lot of times when actors have to work in a blue screen or a green screen environment like you did on so much of this film, you have nothing around you, and it's all filled in after the fact. That's mostly the case with Racer X in this film, right?
Yeah, pretty much. But, you know, again, Larry and Andy did an amazing thing for all of us, I think. You know, they'd already been working on the movie for 8 to 10 months. They'd gathered digital imagery from all over the world, literally Morocco, the Himalayas, and they built these digital environments so that when you were on the green screen environment, you could walk around behind these big plasma monitors and you'd see what you were doing laid in to an already built set piece environment.
No kidding.
Oh, that is a different way to do it. That is very cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
At any point, do you get to actually drive a real race car fast?
No, not at all. But then there was another thing that they did that was really incredible. You know, these cars are doing incredible things in Speed Racer. It's sort of a futuristic world where these cars go 750 kilometers an hour, and they're doing really extraordinary tricks and fighting and stuff. So they built a gimbal thing, which was like a hydraulically manipulated cockpit. So they'd just swap out the cockpits of the cars.
Right.
You'd get into this thing, and then they would just dial it up. And basically all you had to do is strap your seatbelt really tight and hold on, because the car was going to be doing what it was doing in the film, and all you had to do is react to it, and that made our jobs really easy.
Are we sure that the Wachowski brothers have not come back from the future and somehow have? Because they seem to be way ahead of their time.
I'm not sure of that. They're amazing. I love every minute of working with them. They're amazing.
Now, for those of us that aren't that familiar with Speed Racer, tell us about Speed Racer and Racer X and the relationship there.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, initially he's an enigma. You really don't know who Racer X is. There's in the Speed Racer world, racing is all that exists, and all attention is paid towards that. And about half the population believes that he is actually a bad guy, and he's got a nickname, the Harbinger of Boom, and he causes many accidents on the track, and people think he's aggressive and dangerous. then there's half the population that thinks that he's doing that because he's working for a top secret organization that is fighting race corruption, race fixing, and that he's actually like a really good guy. And then there's rumors swirling around that he may in fact be Rex Racer, who is Speed Racer's older brother and died in a really fiery car crash years prior. And so there's, he's very mysterious. Nobody really knows where he's coming from, but he certainly always seems to be there to help out Speed and has taken a special interest in Speed.
Mm, that's a great way to describe it, by the way. I mean, there's so many different interpretations of it. Now, is it going to be answered in this movie who the real Racer X is, or are we still going to be left wondering?
No, there's some big reveals in the film, and that is one of them, and it happens towards the end of the movie. And
cool.
Yeah, I'm really, really psyched about it.
Now, let me ask you this. We talked about the difficulties it can be as an actor to react to the green screen and stuff like that. What about having to wear something as constrictive as the leather suit that you wear and also having something over your face all the time? I mean, it seems like as an actor, they're just taking away every single tool you might have in order to be able to bring something forth on the screen.
Yeah. Well, you know, my first meeting with Larry and Andy, that was I look back on that first meeting, and it was essentially like a string of warnings. I mean, they were warning me about how the suit was going to be. They were warning me about the idea of a mass crusader and what that would mean to me as an actor, taking away your eyes. And,
right.
And, you know, I looked back, and I really responded to each one of those warnings as just a challenge. I mean, it was really exciting to me. I've always, since a young boy, wanted to, you know, I've always had a fascination with the idea of the masked vigilante, a guy who sort of gives up all of his connection with the human beings in the world that he loves, and he's even lost his identity and has buried his identity in the service of an idea, and in Racer X is servicing justice. And so I've always been fascinated with that, and this one just clicked into a place where I was dying to do it. I didn't care what kind of challenges were going to be involved. It was difficult at times, but it was an extraordinary experience for me.
Let me ask you this, okay. And this is kind of a new question to have to ask, but we went to Iron Man this past weekend, and at the end of the credits, you sit through all of the credits, and there's another clip. Would you mind telling us if we need to sit through all of the credits for your movie? Is there another clip that's super important that we're going to kick ourselves if we leave too early?
I don't know. I haven't sat through all of them yet. Both the times I've seen the movie, I've been in a situation where I had to rush out and there were other things that had to be done.
You so bastard.
I look forward to doing that. I've made a deal with both my kids that I'll take them to see the movie in the theater as many times as they want, like every day.
And wow.
As many times they want to go.
That's awesome.
So I'll definitely be sitting through the credits.
Okay. Well, we can't wait for this movie. It opens up everywhere on Friday. Of course, we're talking about Speed Racer and Matthew Fox online. And while we have you, man, I know you hear this from everybody, but it's so great to have Lost backfiring on all cylinders. I know you had a little bit of a rocky patch earlier on in the run, but man, the show has just been so great. We're just digging it all over again, dude.
I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad you're enjoying it. It's been a really good year for us. It's been a tough one with the strike and having to shut down halfway through, but we were certainly glad to get back into production and bring some more episodes to the audience this spring, and it's going to be a hell of a finale, I'll tell you.
Don't forget the time change. It's Thursday nights at 10 on ABC.
And you sound great considering you had your appendix taken out, man. You really sound like you've recovered well.
Yeah, well, it's the island. You heal up quickly on the island.
Yes, I know you do. All right, Lost Thursday nights at 10 on ABC. Speed Racer opens everywhere on Friday. Our guest once again, Matthew Fox. Thanks for joining us, dude.
Hey, thank you, man.
Take thank
care.
You,
bud. We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do? What it do? What it do?
What it do, nephew?
So, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
You know how cool it is to go to these theme parks, see the new attractions before they get all swamped and open to the public? Well, you've got a chance to be one of the cool kids. The X2 preview event is happening at Six Flags Magic Mountain Friday, May 23rd. It opens to the public the next day. Ride X2 and then call us and let us know how it is. That's what you get for Kevin Amin's What to Do Nephew, 1-800-520-1067.
And I think for the best call, we're going to also throw in
butt hash.
Okay.
Oh,
we have some
that?
Of that?
Let's, I don't even know if we can put some of these on the air. Let's start with Eddie, who is calling from Canoga Park. Good morning, Eddie.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
Did you guys catch the Dodger game last night, the
yes.
In the park home run?
Inside
the park?
What is with this kid that they just brought up, who's having the best week of his life ever?
Yeah, home run the day before, and then another home run last night. I think you guys had something to do with it, talking to Joe Torre, lifting the curse, I think.
Right, exactly.
That's what we said.
You know what he's talking. Hey, I am not a huge baseball fan, but doesn't it seems to me like there's got to be some errors for somebody to get it in the park
home run, doesn't it?
No, not necessarily.
Really?
You can just hit it in the right place in the park where it takes a bounce off the wall, and it's just tough to get to in time.
Oh, I
see. They didn't catch it in time. They flagged him when he was just going to do a triple, but he couldn't handle the ball, and then by the time he caught the grip and threw it, he was already rounding home.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, sometimes you can get one in the corner. It's just too far. I mean, what's this kid's name, Mike, that's setting the world on fire right now?
Blake DeWitt.
Yeah, he's the man right now. He could have any woman in this town just by walking down the street and pointing. It's pretty cool. tell Kevin about the text you got from me last night around 8:30, Mike.
I was sitting at the Dodger game and watching the Dodgers come back and eventually beat the Mets. And Bean says, "Oh, this is so great. The Texas Rangers are now leading the Seattle Mariners 10-1.
Oh, my gosh.
It was actually 10-0 when I texted Mike in the third inning.
Wow.
It was 10-0 when I wrote to Mike. They ended up losing 10-1, so they did kind of at least stop the bleeding. But that was a painful night for me, I'll tell you that.
I guess. You should have thought about that before you picked a bad team to back. Can we talk to line one or no?
Sure.
Larry in Ontario, good morning.
Good morning. What did you do, Matthew?
What did
it do?
Hey, so yeah, I was watching the Channel 7 News last night around 5:30 or so, and they're doing a report on people losing their homes and having to lose their animals and pets as well and letting them loose.
Right.
I was reporting from some, like, a horse stable in DeVore.
Mm-hmm.
Directly behind him was a horse in a corral with an erection.
Hard to miss, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm like, what the heck? I saw it moving. It would move up towards his valley and then hang back down. Then I guess the cameraman caught notice of something moving, so he zoomed in really quick.
Oh, good.
I guess he realized what it was, so he zoomed back out, and I just kept on finishing the report.
That's awesome.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
Oh, come on, Rodney. Come on. Yeah, that's a wee bit awkward when something like that happens. Can't do anything about that.
All right, let's say good morning to Robert in Inglewood. Good morning, Robert. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What'd it do?
What'd it do, nephew? Lisa May.
What'd it do?
What's going on?
I was calling in regards to the taco trucks and why the cops are being so prejudiced against them. I think I figured it out.
Okay.
Two possible reasons. One, they got tired of getting chorro from all those tacos that they eat, which is severe diarrhea.
Sure.
And the other one is they found out what tripas and sesos are, which is one of the most taco trucks you'll find that sells tripas and sesos, and this is tripe and cow brains.
Ooh, oh, that sounds delicious.
But yeah, there are plenty of people who patronize those trucks who buy that, who like it, right?
It's not illegal.
There's a lot of people that buy it and like it, but honest to truth, I don't think they know what they're buying.
You don't know it's cow brains?
Yeah, I don't think they know that sesos is cow brains. They hide the word by saying sesos instead of cow brains, and so people think, oh, well, it's good. I'll go ahead and try it.
Because those people don't speak Spanish?
Yeah. It's mostly for you guys, not me. I get it.
Yeah, you're effing shaky, first of all.
No
I
kidding.
I think so, too.
Anybody who's going to a taco truck purposely to order brain tacos speaks Spanish, believe me.
I'm thinking,
yeah. That's true, yeah.
No kidding. Let's talk to Mike, who's a lying liar who lies in Mission Viejo. He's on line 8, and he's probably lying about his name and the city he's from. Hey, lying liar who lies, what's going on? Mike?
Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Yeah,
What'd it do?
Yeah,
I just want to talk about Rachel Ray for a second.
Fatty.
Hey, caught her on the cover of her magazine, and I don't know if they're airbrushing the pounds away, but
yes.
She looked pretty good.
Yes,
no.
Of course they airbrushed the crap out of it.
No.
I mean, look at her. She's got elbow cleavage.
Look, if it's your magazine, they can make you look good on the cover.
Yeah, she can.
You know what they do in those magazines? I mean, they can take 50 pounds off of you. I mean, they can do anything they want in a magazine. Trust us when we tell you that she's a fat whore, all right?
You're fat.
Yeah. All right, thank you for the call.
You can't airbrush whore, by the way.
That's true. I don't think they figured out a way to do that
yet.
All right, well, that's left a bad taste in my mouth, but I think we're going to have to end it there anyway and thank our special guests on today's Kevin and Bean Show, including Harvey Levin from TMZ.com and TMZ Television, which is just a tremendous half hour. You'll never see a show that bites the hand that feeds it more than TMZ. They hate celebrities, yet that's how they make their living.
I love that.
Anyway, that's at 6:30 weekdays on Channel 11. Also, thanks to Matthew Fox for joining us. A new episode of Lost airs tomorrow night at 10 o'clock, and of course, Speed Racer opens everywhere on Friday. Won't you please enjoy?
Speaking of Speed Racer, we have Emil Hirsch tomorrow on the program.
Oh, great.
We have the creators of Lost, Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse on the program tomorrow.
Very good.
I'm sure they'll say nothing. I'm sure they'll answer no questions. That's how they are.
Rob Corddry in the studio talking about what happens in Vegas. We have some doc tape from his open mouth segment on this weekend or whatever it was.
Open Line. Open Line is his public affairs show, right?
All right. And why is Bean's blog being banned in China?
Hi.
What?
The answer? Boredom. And more K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta tickets tomorrow morning.
Ralph was asking, why can't it be banned in the United States? I think that was the question he had. So all of that tomorrow morning. Stick around, though. 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock next with our friend Kat Corbett. How about the new one from Coldplay called Violet Hill? Also, let me see. We got some Pennywise on the way. We got Foo Fighters, Harvey Danger. Yes, and more right after this on K-Rock.